1, 2, 3, go!
High school football is on the air. It's time for the color and excitement of high school football, presented by First Federal Credit Union. Here on KGYN. Let's head to the stadium and join Todd Werner with sideline reports. Gary Fickle with expert commentary and with the play-by-play. Here's KGYM's Alex Kuhn.
Good morning and welcome to the Unidome. Cedar Falls, Iowa is the scene for this Class 1A semifinal between the six-time defending state champion, the Iowa City Regina Regals. They will take on the Denver Cyclones. Alex Kuhn alongside Gary Fickle on the South Gym 106.3 FM as well as the North Gym 107.5 FM. We'll have all the action as we welcome you in to the Holmes-Murphy pregame show on KGYM. High school football on the South Gym as well as the North Gym is brought to you by First Federal Credit Union. I bring in my broadcast partner, Gary Fickle, and we have a little bit of before we get into this game, we have an interesting booth here. All season, we've had Todd Werner, our sideline reporter, roaming the sidelines. Since he can't do that here at the Unidome, we want his analysis up here in the booth. So, Gary, welcome into the Unidome. It doesn't get much better than this from a matchup standpoint this time of year. 72 degrees and beautiful. No wind inside the Unidome. We're ready for some action. We're just about 20 minutes from kickoff. This Class 1A semifinal ball game.
Well, I tell you what, we saw a great ball game last Friday with Regina and Pella Christian, 1-2. Now today, Alex, we've got 1-3, and this is going to be a dandy as well.
You talked about it last week after the game. We talked about that matchup between Iowa City Regina and Pella Christian, one of the classics that we had seen in a very long time. And one thing that you said that was very interesting, Gary, is Iowa City Regina needs to get back up, kind of lower those emotions that they had after that emotional victory last week, saving their season with a Jack Jensen interception at the end of that game. They need to get right back up because they're playing a very good team in Denver here this morning.
And that's one of the things we talked about with Marv yesterday in regards to our pregame interview. He just said that with the playoff system with 16 teams rather than 32, every team in the playoff is there for a reason. They're good football teams. You cannot take anyone lightly.
So let's get to that interview that you had with Marv Cook, the head football coach at Iowa City Regina. You met with him earlier in the week. This is Gary Fickle with Marv Cook.
I'm with Marv Cook, head football coach of the number one rated Regina Regals. Well, coach, it's on to the Unidome tomorrow morning for a semifinal matchup with the Denver Cyclones. Before we talk about that game, let's go back to Friday's playoff classic with the Pella Christian Eagles. When was the last time as a player or a coach you can remember putting 45 points up on the board and still in the closing minutes of the game be holding your breath as far as the outcome? Last Friday, I mean, that's basically what was the story with Pella Christian. You held on and won the shootout 45-43.
Yeah, it was an amazing high school football game, and you know, we knew that they were explosive on offense and solid on defense, so we felt like, you know, we're going to have to play a really solid game for 48 minutes or more, and so ultimately it took all 48 minutes, and hats off to our kids. You know, they had chances to maybe get, you know, out of sync with what we were trying to do because we had some nice leads at times, but, you know, Pella Christian came back and obviously, you know, made it a one-possession game with minutes to go, so... those are fun games. I mean, they're not good for my overweight issues and cholesterol and everything, but you know, as someone who's sitting there watching a great high school football game, it sure was.
Well, the fans really got their money's worth of the bill up coming in, number one versus number two, and that kind of leads into my next question. Everybody basically said this is going to be for the Class 1A state championship game, and it lived up to the billing, like I said, but now... that has a potential for a trap game coming up tomorrow with the semifinal game with Denver. How do you guard against that?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing we noticed right away when the fields were cut to 16 and they did the pairing show is that all 16 teams are very talented. All 16 teams have different strengths and weaknesses, and, you know, they're all good. So, I mean, at any given, you know, night, you know, your team can get upset by one of these teams because they're all quality opponents. And so... you know, Yeah, it's the one thing that's hard to do is if you get caught up in the emotional aspect of, you know, the highs and lows of an ebb and flow game, and you let that weigh on you afterwards. I mean, it can, you know, hurt your preparation for the next opponent. I think our kids have been locked in. I mean, I think we've got a pretty set routine that we've been in for now for 14 weeks, and it's kind of just back to here's the schedule, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and here's what we're going to do. And they've kind of just been really good about going about that process.
Now you have an extra day during the week, Friday to Saturday. What was that additional day? How'd you fill that up?
Well, we did the same routine early in the week with just shakeouts and lifting, but then we gave them an extra just a half a day off basically just to do nothing, no film, no you know, lifting, things like that. So then we got back in our routine, which is just a day later than normal. So and then today, instead of playing, we'll just have our walkthrough, play the game, and then we'll get up early tomorrow morning, go get after it.
You know, you mentioned 16 teams rather than 32, and you're deep into the playoffs now, obviously. It's early. You'll think about this after the season wraps up, but do you have any thoughts in regards to the format at this point?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, I understand what the state's trying to accomplish. You know, they want parity. They want, you know, schools of similar size to play each other for fairness. But I'm an old EIHC guy. I mean, our conference was a great football conference, you know, and great gates, you know, and the generational kids and families that have played against those programs is all good. And I get the fact that you don't want to go 2-6 and not make the playoffs if you're playing all the bigger schools. But I would like to see the state consider maybe, you know, week 9 play-in game where, like basketball, everybody's in. You know, you can bracket it in week 9 and everybody gets 9 games. And then you can still schedule 8 games with natural, you know, border rivalries, things like that, and hopefully get better gates for the booster programs and more money coming into the sports programs from that standpoint. So I get there's really no win-win solution, but the other thing that would do is that would allow you to play tough games and help make your team better, but then get you ready for the playoffs. And if you had injuries early, it would help you. You know, you would still be able to have a quality team and a good run in the playoffs if you got guys healthy at the right time.
Well, Todd Tharp, one of the executives of Iowa High School Athletic Association, will be one of our guests at halftime during your semifinal game. He's a great guy. He's an old Marion Indian, just like I am. And we're going to throw around the format a little bit and get his opinion on it and some of the feedback he's been receiving. How about those Denver Cyclones now? Let's get right to it. What do they look like, Coach?
They know their identity. They're huge. I mean, they may be the biggest offensive line in high school football in the state of Iowa. Maybe Dowling might be a little bit bigger, but they know their identity. They know what they want to do. They're very good at it. They're very comfortable running it 80 times a game if that's needed. And I mean, they're 330, you know, 275. So it's going to be a great challenge for our guys up front. They run the ball extremely well. They've got great timing in their running games. You know, we're going to have to play really solid physical at point of attack, but then also really be good with our gap assignments and then rallying to the football because, I mean, they do it well. Then they got a split receiver that's athletic enough that's going to require you to set 1.5 guys out over the top of him because he's pretty dynamic. The running back runs hard. So they definitely have an identity offensively that they know what they want to do, and they've had a lot of success. I mean, they put up big points on pretty much everybody, and, you know, they played a 2A semifinal team in Dyke, New Hartford, and they beat them early in the season. So, I mean, obviously they're a quality team.
Yeah, and they've had their way basically in the first two rounds of the playoffs, Clayton Ridge and Bellevue. I mean, they just basically dusted them. What's it going to take for the Regals to be successful and reach that championship game?
Well, I think if, you know, I usually always say if you can make them one-dimensional, you know, well, Denver's fine with being one-dimensional. They're going to want to run the ball. So we're going to have to really be effective against the run, get them in third and, you know, medium, third and long situations, hopefully, make them hopefully feel like they need to throw the ball. And then offensively, we need to keep their offense off the field. If we can move the ball effectively, control the ball, make plays when we get opportunities, and hopefully get up a little bit and force them into a situation where maybe they need to try to come from behind. That's probably the one thing that they haven't had to do much this year. So, you know, offensively, we can help our defense a lot tomorrow.
Now, I'm assuming practice will be normal, your run-through practice day before a ball game. But tell us about the agenda after practice leading up to the 10:06 kickoff. What's going to take place?
That's a good question. We'll play our game after school today. We'll do an extended walkthrough. We'll try to put some plays in and walk through what we see for them, how we're going to try to attack them offensively, things like that. And then we'll have our special teams walkthroughs, and then we'll play a little simulated game. And we'll talk to the team about, what the expectations are for the night. We'll obviously want them to get home, watch some of the other games on TV, and kind of see the dome. We want them to drink lots of water this week, get a good meal tonight, and then make sure they try to get a good night's sleep. Video games and everything else can keep kids up late at night, and the one thing we want to do is get a good night's sleep. So we want to get them home, get a good meal, get off their feet, maybe watch a little high school football. And then, we'll get here early Saturday morning, get breakfast, 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, what time is that going to be?
Yeah, we'll have breakfast at 6:30 in the morning, and then the bus will leave at 7.
There you go. And you plan on about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, tape them, throw the pads and helmet on, and go play that semifinal game.
Yeah, I mean, being the first game's nice because you can actually access the field an hour early. The other teams that play after us only get 30 minutes of warm-up time, so where kids can get out, walk around, shake it out a little bit. We'll take a big yellow school bus up there. We're not a Greyhound team or anything, so we just get up there in a school bus and get our kids out, and we'll get them taped up, like you said, and get them ready to go.
You're accustomed to that 10:06 kickoff. You've done that the last several years, obviously, so that's not going to be anything new to you, and I would imagine you're very comfortable with the routine.
I'm not. I like to sleep in. But the kids, these kids have been, since seventh grade, have been getting up at 6 in the morning, lifting weights 3 or 4 times a week, extremely dedicated with it. Coach Canales does a phenomenal job with them, and honestly, so getting up early is not a big issue for them. At least they don't complain about it to me. So it's actually, it's a blessing that we've been doing that, because, by 10 o'clock, they're kind of ready to go.
How about Marv now? The theme basically continues here. Win in advance. It's that simple. Best of luck to you and the Regals as you take on the 11-0 Denver Cyclones.
Well, it's like, we talked about last week. It's a big game when you show up. So I'll lose extra sleep this week knowing that you guys are going to be here. But honestly, you guys have been phenomenal. We really, really appreciate the coverage and everything you're doing, not just for, obviously, Regina, but for all the local schools. You guys do a phenomenal job, so thank you.
Really appreciate that, Marv.
That was Gary Fickle with head football coach of the Iowa City Regina Regals, Marv Cook. Alex Coote alongside Todd Warner, Gary Fickle. We are under 10 minutes away from kickoff, what was scheduled to be a 10:06 kickoff here from the Unidome. We're going to be just right on time as the Denver Cyclones take the field. Still waiting for the Regina Regals to take the field, trying to win their seventh consecutive state championship. First things first, they got to advance to the state championship game and beat a very, very good Denver team. We're going to take a quick break, a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, brought to you by First Federal Credit Union.
Hey, you should be thinking about the game, not your business. I understand. I'm Colin Forrest with Holmes Murphy. We handle the worry factor for businesses like yours every day. We're always thinking ahead to find insurance solutions that lower your risk, your costs, and maybe even your blood pressure. Right now, take a break and focus on the game. And when you're back in the office, find out who we are, how we think, and what we do to make your business life less stressful at HOLMESMurphy.com. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead.
Welcome back to the Unidome on the South Gym 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the North Gym 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. Alex Lacoon alongside Todd Werner and Gary Fickle. We are just about 5 minutes away from kickoff here from the Unidome between the Regina Regals and the Denver Cyclones. We're going to get to the keys to the game in just a little bit. As, like I said, we're going to hear the national anthem played here from the Unidome before this Class 1A semifinal game gets underway. Todd Warner sits to the right of me, usually stands on the sideline, but he stands to the right of me as we rise and see the colors go to midfield and rise for the national anthem.
We'd like to welcome you home to the state football semifinals. Your partner is proud to be part of the Iowa State football.
to help with the Iowa Farm Bureau, we can celebrate your efforts on the field and in the classroom. They're committed to your success and support Iowa's youth awards, grants, and scholarships that recognize athletic and academic excellence.
As Iowans, we have much to be proud of. Whether you're competing in the game or a fan of state, we all have the power to make Iowa stronger. Individually, each of our efforts is important. Together, we all rise for a better life. From the Iowa Farm
and the Iowa High School Athletic Association,
congratulations on outstanding season and good luck.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the semifinals always corresponds with the National Tournaments of Veterans Day. It's therefore fitting that we want to honor our great nation and we keep in mind the unsung sacrifices given by so many in the military and the first responders within our country. These sacrifices, many of which were supreme, have allowed us to enjoy the blessings of liberty. Let's also keep in mind these men and women around the globe and their elder who stand watch on our behalf. This time, as you please remove your hats, stand for your apron as we honor these gallant people and our nation. The national anthem today will be performed by Isabella Neibauer. Isabella Neibauer is a sophomore at Regina High School. She plays softball, is a member of the Regina dance team, and is on the honor roll. She sang to the Valley Goblins on the choir for the past 4 years and participated in musicals and will be performing today's national anthem. Isabella Neibauer.
Just under 2 minutes away from kickoff as we conclude the Holmes-Murphy pregame show on the South Gym 106.3 FM in Iowa City. We're going to keep it right here. Alex Kuhn alongside Todd Werner and my broadcast partner, Gary Fickle. And Gary, we've talked about keys to the game all season. And this is a little bit of a – this is interesting matchup because it's a little bit of a contrast in styles, but not quite. You look at a Denver team, they like to run the ball. Iowa City Regina team that's very multiple in their offense, but one thing is the same. They both have big physical offensive and defensive lines.
Absolutely, and that will prove to be the difference in this ball game, who can control those trenches. I have several keys, Alex, to the ball game. Number one, for Regina, use that playoff experience. They've been here, they're accustomed to playing in the dome. They understand that at 72 degrees, there's a strong possibility of cramping. Hydrate. Take those helmets off at half or at timeouts. Don't be bashful. Take a knee. And the Regals really need to play with that understanding that they're going to get the best shot from Denver that they can possibly give them. But I don't think that's going to be, you know, all that big a deal because of the aggressive play calling of offensive coordinator Eddie Hinkle. He's not going to sit back on his hands. And the defensive schemes of Jason Dumont, very, very aggressive. Both those coaches do an outstanding job of applying pressure to their opponents.
That they do. We got two through the keys of the game. We'll give you more as the broadcast goes along. We're going to take our final timeout of the pregame show. We're going to take a 60-second timeout, and we're going to be back with the kickoff. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City.
At First Federal Credit Union, keeping it simple is the key to our no-strings checking account. It's simple because there's no minimum balance, no monthly fee, and you earn 5% on the first $500 in your account. That's right, 5%. We give you free mobile and online tools. And with surcharge-free ATMs in Iowa and across the nation, we make it easy, convenient, and of course, simple for you. No strings checking is available only at First Federal Credit Union. Check us out at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Lamar's Insurance Company use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The independent insurance agent system. Discover the power of choice.
Call Millhiser Smith Agency today, your local Lamar's agent, or visit us online at millhisersmith.com to see how much you could save.
KZIA HD3 and 4 Cedar Rapids. This is the Gym.
Welcome back to the Unidome. We are ready for kickoff in this Class 1A semifinal matchup between the 11-0 Denver Cyclones, the six-time defending state champions, looking for number seven and looking to advance to a state championship, the Iowa City Regina Regals. They come in at 10-1 on the season. Regina has won the toss. They have elected to receive. Deep to receive for Regina is Brady Bigley and number 10, Jack Jensen, who stands back at his own 5-yard line, and we are underway. A low line drive kick that's going to be bobbled by Bigley at the 6, picks it up across the 10, angles to his left. He is stood up at the 15-yard line, and that's where he's going to be brought down. Regina takes over first down and 10 from their own 15-yard line to begin this Class 1A semifinal matchup.
Yeah, I don't think Regina's going to do anything that they haven't done all season, you guys. You've got Volstadt, that workhorse. You've got Conlon at the quarterback, who's awfully shifty, and good, solid receivers on the outside edges for the Regals.
Conlon is in the shotgun with Volstadt to his left, trips to the near side, one receiver to the far side. Ball on the left hash, fake the handoff to Volstadt, throws a flare screen out to Jack Jensen, who makes the catch at the 15, but maybe gets out to the 16 for a gain of about a half a yard. It's going to bring up second down and a long 9 for Regina.
Really like the way Coach Hinkle starts out this ball game, allowing Michael to throw on first down, even deep in their own territory. Shows a lot of confidence in Conlon.
Ball now on the left hash as Conlon takes snappy hands off to Volstadt up the middle. He bounces off of a tackle. Instead, Conlon had kept the ball in the read option. He gets brought down in the backfield at the 11-yard line. A poor read there by Michael Conlon will set up a third down and about 14 for the Regina Regals.
Yeah, Lund coming in from his defensive end position and dropping Conlon for about a 4 or 5 yard loss.
5 wide receiver set, empty backfield. Conlon in the shotgun, back to pass, looks down the field, throws down the middle. He has a man wide open. It's Trey Rogers at the 40, sidesteps a man to the 45, out to midfield, inside Denver territory, all the way to the 49-yard line. Finally brought down by Blake Ryer, but not before a gain of 40 yards and a first down for Regina.
Boy, did Conlon show great poise back there. Held on to the ball to the very last moment. Found Trey wide open over the center of the field.
Twins receivers to either side, ball in the middle of the field. Conlon in the shotgun, Volstadt in the backfield. Volstadt now gets the carry up the middle, and he is going to be drugged down after about a gain of 1. That was Mason Neeson on the tackle, the big 6'5". This is not a typo, people. 325-pound defensive tackle for the Denver Cyclones.
Yeah, and Mason is getting strong looks from you and I in Iowa State from what Todd Werner was telling us. He had a chance to visit with the coaches over on the Denver sideline during the pregame warmups.
Jack Jensen comes in motion. He is going to get the ball, but it is fumbled in midfield, and Neeson's going to fall on it. Denver will get the ball off of the botched exchange on the jet sweep action, and after that first down throw of 40 yards, Regina has turned the ball over, and Denver will get the ball in supremely good field position.
Yeah, that looks like maybe that ball went off the elbow of, did we say it was Jensen on
that
the fly
sweep?
That
was Jack Jensen on the fly sweep.
I think that just went off of his elbow. Didn't get the ball cleanly.
So Eli Barrett and company will take the field. He gets under center with the running back in the backfield. It's Sam Yeager. Yeager's going to get the pitch, tries to get the edge. He will not. Bounces off a tackle at the 45, but is brought down at the 46 for a loss of three on the play. Jared Brinkman in there on the tackle, but there was a nice surge on the outside. A good job by Regina to contain the edge and drops Yeager for a loss of three. So that brings up second down and 13 for the Denver Cyclones, who have the white tops with maroon pants and maroon helmets. All blues once again with gold trim for Regina. As that, this time it's Bo McMahon up the middle who picks up about 2 yards. And that sets up third down and 11. So interestingly enough, these two high-powered offenses on their first possession of the game have both found themselves in third down and long situations right out of the gate.
Like Steve Seal was in on that tackle along with a host of other Regina Regals. Still not back to the original line of scrimmage. Third and long for the Denver Cyclones, and that is where the Regals defense wants them. Third and long. Make them uncomfortable and have to throw the ball.
Regina showing blitz, back to pass as Barrett rolls out of the pocket, rolls back to his left, being chased from behind. He's going to be brought down. He's brought down at the 43-yard line. That was Christian Ivan with the sack, and Denver is going to have to punt the football away from their own 44-yard line.
You're going to call that a coverage sack. The receivers were well covered downfield, not allowing Denver to sit back there. Eli Barrett had no one to throw to, and eventually brought down by Ivan. Loss of yardage once again for the Denver Cyclones.
So on to punt for Denver is the quarterback, Eli Barrett. He stands at his own 32-yard line. Jake Phillips back to receive with Jared Brinkman, his lead blocker. A low line drive kick is going to die at the 25-yard line this time. And on their second possession of the game, that's where the Regals will take over, first down and 10. So
a little better field position. This possession for the Regals, remember, their first possession, they started out on their own 15, so they came up with a net of 10 yards. See what they can come up with here on their second series.
We're going to find out after a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. It's brought to you by First Federal Credit Union.
Hey, you should be thinking about the game, not your business. I understand. I'm Colin Forrest with Holmes Murphy. We handle the worry factor for businesses like yours every day. We're always thinking ahead to find insurance solutions that lower your risk, your costs, and maybe even your blood pressure. Right now, take a break and focus on the game. And when you're back in the office, find out who we are, how we think, and what we do to make your business life less stressful at HOLMESMurphy.com. Holmes Murphy. Thinking ahead.
Welcome back to the Unidome. Alex Kuhn alongside Gary Fickle and Todd Werner, our sideline reporter turned studio analyst, sitting to our right. We're going to get to him in just after. We'll call it after this play. First down and 10. Their own 25-yard line for the Regals, who move from right to left with Conlin and the shotgun and Volstad behind him. A bad snap, and Conlin will have to go retrieve it at his own 15-yard line. A fumble on the play. That's going to be a loss of 10 on the play. Second and 20 upcoming. And Todd, we'll get to you. A little bit of nerves here early on from both teams, it looks like.
Well, just, you know, these teams both got to settle in. They both played here in the last 3 years. Denver's been here in the semifinals the last three seasons at Class 1A. Now they got to just start get into a rhythm here. Both teams just got to settle down, play their game.
Conlin rolls to his left, looks the flat, overthrows his intended receiver. That was Trey Rogers once again. It falls incomplete. A dangerous throw right there by Michael Conlin. And that's going to bring up third down and 20 once again. A long third down and distance situation for the Regals.
You've heard me talk about this all season. You're asking an awful lot of your quarterback. When he's a right-handed quarterback, rolling him to his left and then having to square his shoulders up. Regina dodged a bullet there.
Conlon back to pass. He steps up in the pocket, fires it deep down the middle of the field. Going up for it is Phillips. It goes in and out of his hands. He wants a penalty. He won't get it. It brings up 4th and 20, and the Regals are going to have to punt the football away. Blake Ryard was the strong safety on the play, running stride for stride with Jack Jensen, or with Jake Phillips.
And Denver's going to get great field position for their second possession.
So Sam Stein on to punt. Jaeger back to receive. Also Riley Wright, the sophomore cornerback, as Sam Stein gets a beautiful punt off. It's going to land at the 30-yard line. It's going to take a beautiful Regina bounce inside the 20, and it's going to be down at the 18-yard line. And that is where the Denver Cyclones will take over a 62-yard punt from Mr. Stein.
And so far, that, gentlemen, is the play of the game. Flipping the field for the Regals, Sammy Stein coming up with the punt of his life, and that took the turf bounce. That was fantastic for the Regals.
So that is where the Denver offense will take over, first down and 10, after we take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City.
At First Federal Credit Union, keeping it simple is the key to our no-strings checking account. It's simple because there's no minimum balance, no monthly fee, and you earn 5% on the first $500 in your account. That's right, 5%. We give you free mobile and online tools. And with surcharge-free ATMs in Iowa and across the nation, we make it easy, convenient, and of course, simple for you. No strings checking is available only at First Federal Credit Union. Check us out at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
Welcome back to the Unidome for this Class 1A semifinal matchup to decide who goes to the state championship game. Denver takes over at their own 18-yard line, first down and 10 with 7:19 left to go in the first quarter. Bo McMahon gets the carry off left tackle, and he is going absolutely nowhere. He stood up and dropped at the 19, no gain on the play. Second down and 10 upcoming for Denver.
Boy, so far, Alex, I really like what we're seeing out of the Regina defense, particularly that front four. They're doing a great job matching up against the Denver Cyclone. Huge, huge offensive line.
Probably pound for pound the biggest offensive line we have seen all season. Barrett will try to run it himself. He gets outside and will break away across the 25. The 26, he's going to be tripped up at the 27-yard line. Brought down after a gain of 8 on the play. Third down and 2 upcoming, and it looked like number 73, Andrew Hinks, kind of crashed inside and let a lane outside.
He got caught up inside, but luckily Jack Jensen, being that wily old coyote out there at that corner, did not get fooled and came up with a pretty important tackle right there.
Third down and a long one, almost 2. Power formation, 2 fullbacks, a running back dots the eye, and early movement will be on the offensive side against Denver, and that will likely back them up 5 yards and make this a much more difficult third down situation.
One of the things that we're noticing is, again, and Regina loves to do this, Coach Dumont likes to put Brinkman to the wide side of the field, and in this particular case, that's a matchup against Mason Neeson. And watch that one all day long, you guys.
You said Neeson had some interest from you and I. Well, Jared Brinkman is going to be playing here on Saturdays next year. And that is a matchup that I would pay to watch pretty much every day of the week. I formation behind Barrett. Sam Jaeger is the running back. They're going to run the option. Barrett will pitch it to Jaeger, and he is going absolutely nowhere. He's brought down at the 22-yard line in the backfield, and that's going to bring up a 4th down and 6. He was brought down by Brady Bigley, who has been huge since coming back from injury, and Regina will get the ball back following a punt from Denver.
One of the things with Bigley, too, that sticks out, I mean, he missed those games, but he leads Regina in pass interceptions with 7 on the year.
Back deep to receive for Regina, number 62, Jared Brinkman, standing at 6'3", 270 pounds. He is going to receive this punt at his own 40-yard line as Eli Barrett is back deep to punt for Denver. He gets a high snap, handles it. A low line drive kick. He kicks it to the sideline, and it's going to take a Denver roll inside the 40, inside the 35, and is going to even roll further inside the 30 down to the 28-yard line. That is where the Regina Regals will take over after a 50-yard punt from Eli Barrett. We're going to take a quick 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Lamar's Insurance Company use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The independent insurance agent system. Discover the power of choice.
Call Millhiser Smith Agency today, your local Lamar's agent, or visit us online at millhisersmith.com to see how much you could save.
Welcome back to the Unidome. 5:41 left to go here in the first quarter. Alex Good alongside Gary Fickle and Todd Warner, as we are scoreless in a semifinal matchup between the Regina Regals and the Denver Cyclones. We'll get back to the keys of the game that we talked about in the pregame show, Gary. Control the tempo. Neither team so far has kind of jumped out to that, but it looks like it's kind of a feeling out process, and that's going to be key to the rest of this game.
Well, actually, I think there's more occurring, Alex, in this ball game than what the casual observer would be noticing. It's very, very fast so far, this tempo. That plays into the hands of Regina.
Conlin back to pass. There's a quick hitch caught by Jack Jensen. Makes a man miss at the 35. He's three across the 40. He is going to go inside the 40. 35, 30. Can he outrun the Denver defenders? 10, 5. Touchdown, Regina. No flags on the field. 72 yards. And the Regals are an extra point away from taking a 7-0 lead with 5:30 left to go in the first quarter.
We've got the Jumbotron. We're watching the replay taking place right now. Jensen, after receiving the pass from Conlin, put a juke on that corner, left him, broke his ankles basically, left him in the dust, sprinted 72 yards for the touchdown.
Sam Stein on to kick the extra point. His kick is up, and it is good. 72 yards, and the Regals are on top 7-0 with 5:30 left to go in the first quarter. We're going to take a quick 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
Welcome back to Cedar Falls. Alex Coote alongside Gary Fickle and Todd Warner. You said strike early, and the Regina Regals on their third possession of the game have struck fast, and they have struck early. 72 yards on a quick hitch from Michael Conlin to Jack Jensen, and they jump out to a 7-0 lead over the Denver Cyclones.
That was Regina's third possession, you guys, in a ball game. Now, typically, that's going to get you late into the first quarter or even into the second quarter. We have 5:30 remaining in the first quarter. It's fast and furious, which is absolutely the pace that the Regals want to play at.
Sam Stein will kick off. Riley Wright back deep to receive for the Denver Cyclones. A high end-over-end kick as Wright's going to field it at the 8-yard line across the 10 to the 15, angling to the right, back to the left. Sidesteps a man at the 20 and will fight his way out to the 26-yard line. And that's where Denver will take over. First down and 10. 26-yard line. They take over on their third possession of the game, trying to get something going offensively.
That was Volsat down, making the initial contact. He didn't actually bring the ball carrier down, but Isaac hustling down, causing a little disruption. 17-yard return on that punt. And here's Denver once again taking over at their own 26.
We'll see what this offense tries to do. They have run the ball so effectively all season. Three ball carriers averaging over 7 yards a carry. This time McMahon will get the carry, and he fights his way out to the 30-yard line, gains 4 on first down, which brings up a second down and 6. Bo McMahon on the season comes in with 119 carries for 902 yards, 9 touchdowns. Sam Yeager, the feature back, 115 carries, 986 yards, 10 touchdowns. And Eli Barrett, the quarterback, 888 yards and 16 rushing touchdowns. So they love to run the football. Barrett in the shotgun, he drops back to pass, throws it quickly out to the left, has a man out there, that's Yeager across the 40, and barrels his way out to the 46-yard line, finally brought down by Jack Jensen, but not before a gain of 15 in a Denver first down.
Yeah, that's Yeager's 13th catch of the season. He has 3 TDs, good hands, not the prettiest of passes, you guys. I mean, that was a duck, basically, but it was effective.
So a timeout has been taken on the field, and the Regina Regals take the timeout after a 15-yard hookup from Barrett to Yeager. We're going to keep it right here. We're going to bring in our sideline reporter and our in-studio analyst, Todd Werner. And Todd, you look at this Regina offense, and it's so difficult for opposing teams to match up with them because they can beat you in so many ways. They can run the football at you. They can control the clock. They can also strike very quickly.
Well, absolutely, Alex. And when I did get a chance to talk with some of the Denver assistant coaches before the game, that was the one thing that they said really stood out to them on the films, was just how quickly Regina can strike. And the other thing they really talked about was how fundamentally sound Regina is. They spoke about just showing their own kids some of the things that Regina does offensively in the offensive line with their footwork and with their unison of their movements and their zone blocking schemes and stuff. So just the fundamentals that Regina plays with and the pace and the tempo really stood out with Denver. They were quite impressed, and they definitely knew they were going to have their hands full today.
So Denver comes back out on the field, first down and 10 from their own 45-yard line. Barrett is in the shotgun with an empty backfield. He's going to set the screen up to Lund, who makes the catch at midfield, and he gets down deep into Regina territory, the 45, inside the 45 to the 44. He's going to be very close to a first down. No indication as whether they will move the sticks yet, and now they decide that they will. That is a first down after a gain of 10 to the 44-yard line of Regina.
And Regina is going to load that box up, you guys, and they're going to force Denver to throw the ball. Right now, Denver is recognizing that with 4:42 remaining in the first quarter.
Wing right formation. McMahon gets the carry up the middle, fights his way down to the 40-yard line, and he's going to be stood up and dropped. They're going to say that his forward progress was shut off just before the 40-yard line, so a gain of about 3.5. That brings up second down and a long 6.
Steve Seal once again in on that tackle for the Regals.
Second and 7 from the 41-yard line. Steve Seal playing the outside, or one of the defensive end positions, Andrew Hengst as well. The two defensive tackles are Jared Brinkman and Regan Reese. Barrett throws a quick flare screen out to the near side. It is caught at the 40-yard line, inside the 35, down to the 30-yard line. That is a first down, a gain of 15 on the play. It was caught by Zach Miller, and that is a first down for Denver.
That's who Marv identified as a decent-looking wide receiver, coming in with 21 catches, 12.1 yard per catch average, and 4 TDs.
Zach Miller on the program is listed as number 32 and number 35. He is wearing number 32 today, and he splits out wide to the near side. Trips to the near side as Barrett's going to run it himself, stumbles at the 30, trying to sidestep a man, and he's going to be brought down for no gain. Second down and 10 upcoming from the Regina 30-yard line.
Well, I think right there, too, Barrett trying to get to the edge, but Danny Sullivan and Christian Iben were right there to meet him.
That is what Regina does so well. Usually, Andrew Hinks got beat one time, kind of crashing to the inside, but they set the edge very well. We're going to talk more about that. get you the rest of the first quarter. 3:24 left to go here in the first quarter. The Regina Regals lead the Denver Cyclones 7-0. We're going to step aside for 30 seconds. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, brought to you by First Federal Credit Union.
Hey, you should be thinking about the game, not your business. I understand. I'm Colin Forrest with Holmes Murphy. We handle the worry factor for businesses like yours every day. We're always thinking ahead to find insurance solutions that lower your risk, your costs, and maybe even your blood pressure. Right now, take a break and focus on the game. And when you're back in the office, find out who we are, how we think, and what we do to make your business life less stressful at HOLMESMurphy.com. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead.
Seven to nothing is the Regina lead over the Denver Cyclones. Alex Keir alongside Gary Fickle and Todd Warner. 3:34 left to go here in the first quarter, and Denver has the ball second down and 10 from the Regina 30-yard line. If you're the Denver coach on the other sideline, Mr. Barrett, you have to be fairly pleased so far with the execution of the defense, but for one big play. Now they're trying to sustain an offensive drive and get the ball in the end zone. And when you get these opportunities, Gary, against a Regina defense, you have to take advantage.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is several of their big plays, Alex, have come off the pass.
They have.
In this particular drive.
Barrett coming in with only 537 yards passing all season. He drops back to pass, throws over the middle. The ball is tipped and incomplete. That was Jack Jensen on the coverage. Sam Yeager was the intended receiver. And that brings up third down and 10 for the Cyclones.
Third down and 10.
A lot of people on that far sideline thought that was going to be pass interference. But Jensen had that time perfectly. When the ball arrived, that's when the contact occurred.
A little skinny post route to the inside, and Jensen was all over it. Trips to the far side, one receiver to the near side. Barrett back to pass, pressure off the edge, throws to the near side. And Zach Miller had trips coming out of his route. It falls incomplete. Trey Rogers on the coverage. Fourth and 10 upcoming. And Denver with decision time for their head coach. And his son, Mr. Eli Barrett.
Boy, did Jensen have a game of his lifetime last Friday against Pella Christian. I mean, he had three interceptions, you guys.
He was
started the game with an interception. Finish the game with an interception.
The decision has been made, and Denver's offense stays on the field. Empty formation, three receivers to the near side, two to the far side. Barrett has pressure up the middle, rolls to his left, looking down the field. He throws it to no one in particular. It falls incomplete. Turnover on downs, and the Regals will take over first down and 10 from their own 30-yard line with 3:21 left in the first quarter. Danny Sullivan applying the pressure off the right edge for the Regals.
Yeah, Sully's been in this situation before. He knew he needed to keep Barrett in that pocket, not let him outside, and forced an errant throw. Nobody really in the area. Regals take over at their own 30-yard line.
Conlin in the shotgun, Volstad to his left. Volstad gets the carry up the middle, and he runs behind his pads and barrels his way forward. Across the 32 to the 33. That's a gain of three, and it brings up second down and 7 for the Regina Regals. Once again, Mason Neeson nicks another tackle, as I feel like we're going to say his name quite a bit. 6'5", 325 pounds, and even for the big offensive line in the middle for Regina, he is a load.
You know what, though? Run right at him. Wear him out.
Which is what he did. Jake Phillips comes in motion, but Conlin's going to keep it himself up the middle, and he fights his way out across the 35 to the 36. Another gain of three, and that will bring up third down and 3. Fletcher Anderson makes the tackle from his middle linebacker position for Denver ahead of this third down and 3 situation. Conlin in the pistol, two receivers to either side. They stop. They look to the sideline to get a new play from offensive coordinator Ed Hinkle. They get the play they desire. Conlin back to pass. Has plenty of time. He's going to run it himself. Steps up in the pocket. Throws down the middle of the field. It falls incomplete. Intended for Trey Rogers. It looked like Eli Barrett The safety was on the coverage. He breaks up the pass, and that's going to bring up fourth down and four, and Sam Stein's going to likely punt the football away for the Regals.
Yeah, Barrett on that breakup, very similar to Jack Jensen earlier for the Regals. Timed that contact really, really well right when the ball arrived to the receiver.
And I'm all for, at this time of the year, let them play. And that is what the officials have done on two very close plays. I can respect that. Sam Stein back to punt, rugby-style punt, an end-over-end kick. It's going to land at the 20, fielded by Jaeger at the 13. Engels to his right, trying to sidestep a man, but he gets brought down by the shoelaces by Trey Rogers at the 16-yard line after a 49-yard punt. Denver will take over first down and 10 once again in pretty poor field position. And, Gary, we talk about it all the time, and this is something that Regina does. And every single game we've watched, they have done a great job with the field position battle.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the keys that we mentioned as well. Win the field position battle through special teams. Close contests, highly fought contests. There's going to be very, very little room for error. Special teams can make the difference.
Sam Jaeger coming in motion. He's going to get the carry off the left edge, and he is going nowhere. He's brought down at the line of scrimmage, which is the 16-yard line. Mason Simpson, the middle linebacker, brings him down for no gain. Second and 10 upcoming for the Cyclones.
Keep that pressure in. All the Regina Regals, Coach Dumont doing a great job with that defensive line, shuffling players in and out, keeping them fresh. I'm not sure Denver has that luxury that the Regals do, where they have a little bit of depth in that defensive line.
Devin Lund, the receiver, to the far side. Sam Jaeger comes in motion. Instead, they're going to hand off to Bo McMahon up the middle, and he maybe gets one. In fact, he does, out to the 17-yard line, brought down by Andrew Hinks and Jared Brinkman. After a gain of one, third down and nine. The down and distance for Denver, not a situation they want to be in very often.
This is exactly what the Regals want. This is the trap that the Regals will set. They want their big three involved in third and long. Bigley, Phillips, Jensen, those are ball hawks sitting back there for the Regals.
Trips to the near side, Barrett in the pistol. Barrett drops back to pass, looks for a man, sets up a screen. It's caught by McMahon at the 25, and he gets out across the 27 to the 28. He picks up a first down after a gain of 11, brought down by Brady Bigley. But we're seeing the passing game, Gary, we're seeing a lot of screen passes.
Yeah, absolutely. Short little flares. Not necessarily the primary receiver, but the secondary receiver.
So first down and 10 at the 28-yard line for the Cyclones. A tight formation. Bo McMahon is lined up as a fullback, and they're going to run the triple option. Barrett trying to get outside, gets a block, but not good enough. He's going to be brought down in the backfield at the 27-yard line. After a loss of one, Jake Phillips makes the tackle. Isaac Volstead did an unbelievable job as he fought through a seal block to keep contained and keep Barrett from getting outside.
He just feathered that out. He kept his shoulder pads square to the line of scrimmage. And gentlemen, the first quarter is in the books.
We have reached the end of the first quarter with the Regina Regals leading the Denver Cyclones by a score of 7-0. We're going to take a quick 60-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City.
Hear that? That's the sound of you creating your own destiny. While others are waiting in line for brunch, you're spending Saturday in the garage. Because you went to AdvanceAutoParts.com, ordered a platinum battery with a 3-year replacement warranty, and picked it up in-store just 30 minutes later. Now, installing a battery isn't an all-day job, but what the brunch crowd doesn't know won't hurt it. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com to learn more.
Tis the season to save big right now at Lowe's, where you'll find great Black Friday deals happening all month long. So hurry into your neighborhood store today for huge savings on all things Christmas. Now get your choice of GE Real Lights for only $9.99. Plus get a Hank and Dory lighted Christmas inflatable for only $99. Don't miss out on all of the great deals right now at Lowe's. Offers valid 11/9 through 11/16. Quantities limited. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See store for details. U.S. only.
Welcome back to the Uni Dome on the South Gym 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the North Gym 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn alongside Gary Fickle and Todd Warner. We are headed to the second quarter of play with the Regina Regals leading the Denver Cyclones 7-0. A couple of stats. Let's just get to one glaring stat from the first quarter. 12 carries for the Denver offense, 6 yards. This was a team that came in averaging over 7.1 yards per carry with almost 4,000 yards rushing on the season.
Pretty remarkable. That's why it's so nice to have Todd sitting right next to us pointing that out, just like, hey, you guys, look at this. This is a team that makes a living running the ball, and they only have 6 yards in the first quarter rushing.
So Eli Barrett and company will take over. Or will take the field once again, second down and 11 from their own 27-yard line, this time moving from right to left. Two receivers to the near side. Jaeger flanks Bo McMahon, who comes in motion from right to left. Barrett back to pass, fires it down the middle. It's intercepted by Jake Phillips to the 35, inside the 30, the 25. Angling to his left, trying to get the corner inside the 15. He's going to be brought down at the 9-yard line. Eli Barrett had dropped back to pass, throws it over the middle. Number 21 was standing right in the middle of the route, and the Regina Regals will take over. First down and goal from the 9 after a 25-yard interception return by Jake Phillips.
There it was. Forced them into doing things they're not accustomed to. That's the trap. Phillips, Bigley, Jensen. Those three guys are a three-headed monster back there. They are ball hawks. Kak Marinsky, remember last week, came in with 6 interceptions. And when Pella Christian, when the dust had settled, Pella Christian had thrown 5 interceptions last Friday.
Conlin is going to run it himself, and he's going to sidestep into the end zone. Touchdown, Regina. That read option mesh play that Conlin reads so well time after time again. He goes in from 9 yards out, basically untouched, and Sam Stein will come onto the field trying to make this a 14-0 lead with 11:45 left to go in the first half.
Here's what separates Conlin from a lot of other quarterbacks. He can make that decision in a split second. That's the sign of greatness. Conlin has it written all over him, you guys.
Conlin will hold for Sam Stein. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is also good. 14-0 is the Regina lead. 11:45 left to go here in the first half. We're going to take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the North Gym.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Lamar's Insurance Company use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The independent insurance agent system. Discover the power of choice.
Call Millhiser Smith Agency today, your local Lamar's agent, or visit us online at millhisersmith.com to see how much you could save.
Sure, the station will give the young bucks some time. Maybe you can... Welcome back to the Uni Dome. The Regina Regals jump out to a 14-0 lead after a 25-yard interception returned by Jake Phillips and a 9-yard Michael Conlin touchdown run. And the Regals up 2 scores. Alex Kuhn alongside Gary Fickle. And Gary, I bring this to you. This is a huge moment for the Denver Cyclones. As Regina, when they smell blood in the water, they're prone to attack.
Oh, they're absolutely vicious. They will continue to apply that pressure. And, you know, I mentioned Conlin having that split-second ability to make those key decisions. I forgot to mention one thing. Not only can he make that decision, hey, by the way, he's a heck of an athlete.
He certainly is. Riley Wright back deep to receive with Sam Jaeger. They stand at their own 10-yard line. Sam Stein puts a charge into one. It's going to be fielded by Jaeger right at the 1-yard line, across the 5 to the 10, angling right to the 15, has some room across the 20, sidesteps a man at the 25, and he wrestles his way out to the 27-yard line. So Denver takes over first down and 10 from their own 27-yard line after a 26-yard return by Sam Jaeger. Brought down by Andrew Hengst as well as Brady Bigley on the coverage for the Regals. So we talked about this offense having some pieces, and they do have some speed, but when they're forced out of that running game, that's when things get less effective. We'll see if they come back to trying to establish that run, but they come out with an empty backfield. Bo McMahon coming in motion on the jet sweep action, and two Regals were standing out there to make the tackle. No gain on the play, brought down by Danny Sullivan, making the tackle and leading the charge for the Regina Regals. Second and 10 upcoming for Denver.
I spoke with Coach Dumont the other day in practice Thursday, and he just said he is in love with Danny Sullivan. He recognizes formation. He's kind of his leader out there, his spokesperson on the defense.
Barrett is going to run it himself off the triple option, and he fights his way across the 35 to the 36. That's a gain of about 8. Brady Bigley brings him down, and it brings up third down and much more manageable for Denver. Third down and 2 upcoming for the Cyclones, a situation they'd much rather be in with 10:47 left to go here in the first half.
Yeah, they're very comfortable with that third and short. They're going to come up, line up in that power eye formation.
Two fullbacks and a running back. Bo McMahon is the running back. They're going to hand it off to one of the fullbacks. It is Fletcher Anderson, who gets his way across the 40 to the 42, a gain of 5 on the play. Excuse me, 6, and that is a first down for the Cyclones. They'll say his forward progress was shut off just before the 42-yard line, so officially the 41-yard line with a first down and 10 situation for Denver.
Well, I tell you what, you guys, those line splits are not very wide.
Once again, two fullbacks. McMahon will get the carry up the middle. He has some room across midfield. Picks up 13 yards down to the 46-yard line. And another first down for the Cyclones, finding some rhythm here in the power run game.
That's probably one of their longest plays so far in this ball game on that particular carry. Is that right, Todd?
That is correct. 13 yards. Prior to that, it had only been a 10-yard run.
Yeah. Right off, right tackle on that particular play.
They go back to the two fullback set. McMahon is the deep back. He's going to get the carry, and he is brought down by Jared Brinkman in the backfield. That's going to be a loss of 2 on the play, and it's going to bring up a second down and 12 for the Cyclones.
That looked like Jared Brinkman. He might as well have a singlet on right there on that tackle. That was just simply a takedown by the heavyweight.
He fought right through the block of Mason Neeson, the big 6'5", 325-pounder, and just bull-rushed him. Bull rushed him, stood him up, and turned him and made the tackle. Barrett takes the snap, drops back to pass, pump fakes, has pressure in his face. Christian Ivan holds him up, the ball pops out, gets right in the hands of Danny Sullivan, and Regina will have the ball at the 48-yard line of the Cyclones. Christian Ivan provided the initial pressure. Barrett stepped away from it initially, and the ball popped out.
I think he was trying to throw a forward lateral, but they are going to call it a fumble. There's the official call. Regals take over.
And I saw it on the replay. That was absolutely the right call. Reagan Reese was in on the tackle, and Christian Ivan pops it out. Danny Sullivan recovers, and Michael Conlin is in the shotgun.
Watch Eddie Hinkle go to town here.
Jake Phillips will hand off a flipper play back to Michael Conlin as a man wide open. It is Trey Rogers at the 10 to the 5 into the end zone. Touchdown, Regina. A double reverse pass. 49 yards. And Sam Stein is on to attempt the extra point to make it 21 to nothing.
Eddie Hinkle going for the throat right there on that play. He is an offensive genius, gentlemen.
I love that play. You see it every once in a while. Once again, a double reverse pass, and Trey Rogers was wide open. Michael Conlin on to hold. Sam Stein on the kick. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is good. 21 to nothing. The Regals lead with 9:05 left to go in the first half. We're going to take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football in the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
Welcome back to the Uni Dome. 49 yards on a double reverse pass from Michael Conlin to Trey Rogers, and the Regals lead the Cyclones 21-0 with 9:05 left to go here in the first half. Todd, we're going to get it to you. You had an interesting stat that I wanted you to share with everyone twice today off turnovers.
You're right. You know, as Vic mentioned, Regina goes for the throw, and in each of those turnovers, Regina has answered on the very next play with a scoring play. The run first by Conlin after the return of the interception, a 9-yard run, and that big play there, the 49-yard flea flicker, reverse pass. He had multiple options. He had Rogers down the middle of the field, and over here on the near sideline, Phillips wide open as himself, who had started the play.
If you turn the ball over to Regina, you better protect your backside on the upcoming plays.
A 9-yard rush from Conlin, a 49-yard pass from Conlin to Rogers. Sam Stein to kick off from his own 40-yard line. An onside kick, and the Denver Cyclones will recover at the 48-yard line. It looked like three guys for the Regina Regals were around it, and nobody picked it up. But Connor Smith, a personal protector on the return team, picks it up for the Denver Cyclones that returns it to the 50-yard line, and that's where they will take over first and 10.
Coach Cook taking a little page out of the Iowa City West playbook. The Trojans had that same onside kick last night that was successful against Cedar Rapids, Washington, in the Trojans' great, great semifinal win last night.
Barrett in the shotgun. He's going to run it himself off left tackle. Mason Simpson is right there. A loss of one on the play, second down and 11 coming up for the Cyclones. And Gary, they keep trying to run those perimeter running plays. Regina's having none of it.
Absolutely not. There's speed on that Regina defense. Watch that. Watch their shoulder pads, you guys. They're always square to the line of scrimmage. Fundamentally, I don't think there's going to find you're going to find a team that's any better coached fundamentally than the Regals.
Four wide receivers, two to either side. McMahon coming in motion. They're going to run the reverse, and Tristan Ivan is right in the face of McMahon, and he is brought down for a 5-yard loss. That was Jaeger on the reverse, brought down at the 44-yard line. They try the misdirection. That doesn't even work. Third and 17 upcoming.
Assignment football. Don't try to be a hero. Just do your job.
We said it during the break. The Denver Cyclones had run a couple of screen passes in a row, and they worked. I said this, and I predicted this, and I'm not trying to take credit for that. I say the next time they try to run one of those misdirection plays, Regina's going to be in perfect position, and they have been on the last three or four. Barrett in the shotgun. They're going to try to set that backdoor screen. Barrett's going to run it himself. He gets out to midfield. He's going to be brought down by Trey Rogers right there. Doesn't even get back to the original line of scrimmage. We'll call it a gain of six. Trey Rogers makes the tackle and will force another Denver Cyclones punt.
Solid open field tackles out of the DBs. Here comes the upcoming punt.
The personal protector, big number 62, Jared Brinkman, goes halfway back to protect the kick returner, Jake Phillips. No, he's going to be the only punt returner back deep to receive this Eli Barrett punt, as Eli Barrett still has the ball, and now he punts it. And Brinkman will let it roll inside the five, going towards the end zone. It will get into the end zone. It crosses the plane before Cole Wright brings it back into play. So Regina will take over first down and 10 from the 20-yard line.
Yeah, here we go. Field position-wise, I think the Regals are very comfortable with 6:50 remaining in the second quarter to go 80 yards. They're not looking just to have a possession here. Every time they take the field offensively, Todd, they're thinking scoring.
Actually, you're exactly right. You know, right now, Coach Hinkle's still thinking more points.
Oh, you bet.
He wants to put this Denver team away at halftime.
Holstad to the left of Conlin, who's in the shotgun. Volstead gets the carry up the middle across the 25. Sidesets a man, gets the edge of the 30, the 35. He's going to be chopped down at the 39-yard line. A gain of 19 on the play. First down as Eli Barrett makes the tackle for the Denver Cyclones.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, once Volstad gets a little head of steam, he's a freight train.
He gets most of the carries as the feature back for this team, but they divide him so well. He stays in the game in the same set. This time Conlon's going to run it to the left. He picks his way across the 47 to the 49. Very close to a first down, just short of midfield, brought down by Bo McMahon. It's going to bring up a second down and very short for the Regals, who are now going to use a little bit of tempo.
And watch the difference here, too. Instead of picking up 2 and 3 and 4 yards, now they're 8, 9, 10 yards.
Two receivers to either side, Conlon in the shotgun. Volstad to his left. Volstad gets the carry, gets the first down, and more to the 45. Runs over a guy at the 35 and reaches out to the 30-yard line. That is a gain of 19 on the play. Once again, brought down by Eli Barrett, but not before a huge, huge first down run by Isaac Volstad.
Isaac just keeps getting better and better, you guys, with each and every game. Really finding his stride as that featured running back. And he's not that jitterbug. He is a big physical feature back. You just don't find that too often.
We talked about blood in the water. This Denver team has taken a timeout to try to stop this momentum as we've... I talked about this. You talked about this, Gary. Todd, you talked about it as well. This offense is like... Every once in a while, they'll give you false hope after going and get a three and out here or there. They'll come out and they'll punt the ball away on their first possession. But then they strike quick. They'll have a quick, they had a quick 72-yard touchdown by Jack Jensen. And then a couple of turnovers have led to some big plays. And just like that, you look at this Denver Cyclones team and they're behind the eight ball.
Well, here's what happens too. I mean, the coaching takes place on the sideline. They'll make those quick adjustments. They don't wait till halftime, Alex, to make adjustments. They do it on the fly. They're that good.
So Regina has the ball, first down and 10 from the Denver 30-yard line. This offense has, and it's interesting because sometimes they'll run to set up the pass, and today so far it's been sort of throwing the ball to set up the run, and now Isaac Volstad, who had just a little bit of room early in the game, is starting to find bigger and bigger holes. You talked about it before the game, trying to dictate the tempo. The tempo is completely in favor of the men in blue here this morning, early in this game. 6 minutes left to go here in the first half. Conlon in the shotgun. Mason Simpson is checked in at the running back position. He's going to get his first carry of the game. He spins out of a tackle and gets 4 yards down to the 26-yard line. That was Jake Phillips, rather. For Regina, 21-31. They look very much the same here in the press box here at the beautiful Unidome.
Yeah, this is, we haven't even talked about the Unidome and the venue that these young men have an opportunity to play in the semifinals and the finals. You and I does such a great job of hosting.
Jake Phillips stays in the game. Jake Phillips only had 4 carries in the game last week. Conlon back to pass, fires quickly to the slot. It is caught by Trey Rogers at the 21-yard line. A gain of 5. He's going to be just short of a first down, third down, and we'll call it 1. I think it's less than 1 upcoming for the Regina Regals.
And who enters the ball game?
Number 44.
For the Regals.
Number 44, Isaac Volstad, back in the game. And I wonder who's going to get the ball here. Conlon in the pistol, Volstad behind him. Volstad gets the carry up the middle, bounces it outside, has the first down, the 15, inside the 10, trying to get to the corner. Did he get to the pylon? Reaches for it. He's in. Touchdown, Regina. A 21-yard rush by Isaac Volstad, and the Regals are an extra point away from making it a 4-score game with 4:46 left to go in the first half.
You know, watch, here's on the jumbo screen, watch Volstad, you guys, his athleticism right at the end of the run, stretching out, reaching with the ball to the pylon. That's all you have to do, touch that pylon with the ball.
Michael Conlon to hold, Sam Stein to kick. The hold is good. The kick is up. It is good. 28-0 is the Regals' lead with 4:46 left to go in the first half. We're going to take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City as well.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Lamar's Insurance Company use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The independent insurance agent system. Discover the power of choice.
Call Millhiser Smith Agency today, your local Lamar's agent, or visit us online at millhisersmith.com to see how much you could save.
KZIA HD3 and 4 Cedar Rapids. This is the Gym.
Less than 2 minutes came off the clock, and the Regina Regals went 80 yards to make it a 28-0 game over the Denver Cyclones. Alex Coote alongside Gary Fickle and Todd Werner. We talk about this team's ability to sustain drives, but you saw it right there. We've seen it so far in this ballgame, the ability to strike fast.
Strike fast, strike often. That's the theme with Regina. Following their game plan absolutely to a T here. Once again, you just get that sense, guys, that they are locked in on that mission, chasing their seventh state championship. In order to get into that ball game, they have to win this ball game, and boy, do they look good. First couple series maybe a little iffy. Oh, man, they are playing Regina football now.
Cole Wright. Sam Yeager back deep to receive for the Denver Cyclones. Barrett will actually field it at the 15 across the 20 to the 25 out to the 29-yard line. A 19-yard return, and that's where the Denver Cyclones will take over first down and 10 at the 29-yard line. That was actually Patrick Clark who made the tackle for Regina. So what does this Denver offense need to do? They are clearly behind the eight ball right now. They have to scrap their plans. They've had so far to scrap their plans of running the football. What does this Denver offense need to do?
Well, I think one thing they're going to have to do is throw the ball on first down and see what takes place here.
And Barrett does drop back. Pass. He's going to throw a screen to McMahon, and Mason Simpson is standing right there and doesn't make the tackle. McMahon sidesteps him to pick up 2 or 3 yards across the 30 to the 31, bringing up second down and a long 7 for Denver.
You know, that panic mode is going to set in really, really quickly for Denver. Marv alluded to in the pregame interview, Denver is one-dimensional, and they have no problem with that, you guys, whatsoever. But if you can't run the ball, man, oh, man, that panic just enters into the mind and plays havoc with
Barrett, you. Back to pass, throws over the middle, has Yeager out there under. Throws him incomplete at the 44-yard line. That was Trey Rogers and Brady Bigley Jack Jensen and Brady Bigley on the coverage for Regina. And that brings up third down and 9 for the Cyclones, who are in danger of giving the ball right back to the Regina Regals.
I'm sensing there are going to be a couple more turnovers yet this ball game, even before the half ends possibly, you guys.
Devin Lund, the lone receiver to this side. McMahon comes in motion. They're going to fake it to him. Barrett back to pass, has pressure right in his face, flushed out of the pocket. Mason Simpson applying the pressure. He unloads it at the 15-yard line to no one in particular. We'll see if that is a grounding call or not. I believe they're going to keep the flag in their pockets regardless. It brings up a 4th down and 9. Situation for the Cyclones, they're going to have to punt the ball away.
Helpless. That's probably the best word to describe what's going through Barrett's mind right now. Absolutely, he just feels helpless.
There is another word to describe it. What is it, Todd Warner?
It is speed. The Regina speed is just really just taking Denver completely out of their rhythm and out of their offense, and both offensively, defensively, everything.
You know, I've seen everything today. Now I want to see number 62 return a punt. He's back deep to receive. I want to see him field this punt. Eli Barrett will punt it at the 20-yard line, and he's going to let it roll once again inside the 30, and it's going to take a big Denver bounce inside the 20 all the way down to the 15-yard line. That's where Regina will take over first down and 10 from the 15-yard line after a 55-yard punt. So we're going to keep it right here.
Yeah, we've got 3:37 remaining in the half. Remember, Regina scored their last possession, an 80-yard drive in 1:44. So Coach Ed Hinkle's thinking, boy, I've got eternity here with 3:37 remaining.
I got a chance to score three
times. Yeah, we're not done yet, guys. 28-0. Regina leading this ball game over the Denver Cyclones comfortably.
Twins to either side. Volstead to the right of Conlon, who's in the shotgun. Ball in the middle of the field. Volstead will get the carry off left tackle. He barrels his way forward out to the 20-yard line, a gain of 4 on the play. That'll bring up 2nd down and 6 for the Regina Regals offense. It will slow things down a little bit. We saw them go up tempo. They won't go into a huddle, but they'll take their time looking to the sideline for the play before they get lined up. Two receivers to either side. Once again, same formation. Conlon takes the snap. He'll fire it out quickly to Trey Rogers, who tries to get out of a tackle. He does the 25, stiff arms a man to the 26-yard line. A flag flies, and I think it's going to be a face mask against Denver. Trey Rogers had picked up the first down with a gain of 7, and I think yardage is going to be tacked on to the end of the run.
Let's see. The officials are huddling up right at the 25-yard line trying to
Sam Yeager kind of smacked his head like he had was the guilty party, but we'll see what the call
could,
is.
Could be a face mask on Rogers.
It is. You're right. They're going to call it on the stiff arm against Trey Rogers. You don't see that very often.
You want that stiff arm, Todd, to go up underneath the mask into the chin, but here he had clearly had mask.
It got right under the face mask of safety and quarterback Eli Barrett. He stiff-armed a man and then got right up under the chin of Eli Barrett. That's a safety issue. That's definitely something that at all levels they've been looking at, especially in the offensive defensive line. Usually that's when you see kind of a hands-to-the-face penalty against an offensive or defensive lineman. Conlon rolls to his left.
There he is.
Looks down the field, has a man wide open. It's Jake Phillips, who gets turned around as the ball was thrown to the inside. It falls incomplete, but a flag flies, and the Denver coaching staff is beside themselves. That was a poorly thrown ball by Michael Conlon, who turned Jake Phillips around. It looked like Phillips was running towards the post. He threw it back to the middle of the field, but a flag does fly.
Coach Hinkle, once again, you guys, going for a deep ball on 2nd and long. A lot of coaches would be saying to themselves, okay, well, let's just go into halftime leading 28-0. But Coach Hinkle being very, very aggressive with his play calls, as he has throughout his career as the offensive coordinator at Regina.
Blake Ryard is the guilty party. Gets the pass interference infraction. 1st down and 10 from the 28-yard line for the Regals. Conlon back to pass, fires it quickly out to Johnson, caught it to 33, sidesteps a man, goes towards the sideline, gets out of bounds at the 37-yard line. He is just short of a 1st down after a gain of 9, 2nd down and 1 upcoming for Regina.
Just watch the clock management out of Regina from this point forward to the end of the half. 2:39 remaining in the second quarter.
Twins to either side. Volstead to the right of Conlon. Conlon fires it quickly out to Jensen once again. Okay, makes the catch at the 42. Gets across the 45. And once again steps out of bounds. A gain of 7. A 1st down for the Regals.
Doesn't take very, very much here, you guys. 7, 8, 9 yards a catch. And only taking off a matter of 4 or 5 seconds on the play clock. So
Jensen slits out wide once again to this side. Trey Rogers is in the slot. Phillips in the slot to the far side. Back to passes Conlon. Looks down the middle of the field. Fires it to the right side. He overthrows his intended receiver, Jack Jensen. That looked like it came out funny out of the hands of Michael Conlon. It'll bring up 2nd down and 10 for the Regals.
Right now, Conlon's just taking what that defense is giving him.
I want to backtrack a little bit on the throw where I said, the interference where I said that Michael Conlon made a poor throw. Rolling to your left, that's not an easy throw to make. I know a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that can't make that throw, so maybe it was a little tough on him there as Volstead gets a carry up the middle. Ball pops out, and it looks like Denver has recovered. It is recovered by Riley Wright, the quarterback, at the 46-yard line, and the Cyclones will take over first down and 10.
Is that the first turnover, I think, for Regina? Is that? Oh, Todd's saying that's their second.
I'm trying to think what the other turnover was.
They had the fumble early in the game on the jet sweep handoff.
Right,
that was a poor handoff.
That was going to Jack Jensen.
That's correct. The second turnover on the day for Marv Cook's team. What has been a very good first half. I'm sure there's always room to grow, and he will point to those turnovers after the game. Barrett back to pass, sets up a screen. Nice one-handed catch by McMahon, but he is not going anywhere. Danny Sullivan wrestles him down the 46-yard line. No gain on the play, second and 10. Upcoming for the Cyclones.
Yeah, Danny Sullivan, a very physical linebacker for the Regals. Graduated a lot of great players last year, you guys. They just keep filling in, Todd. I mean, that's the magic of what takes place at Regina.
It's just a factory, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a football factory.
They go back to the two fullback set. McMahon gets the carry off right tackle, trying to stay patient, looking for a hole. He's going to continue to push the pile out towards midfield. He's shut off at the 49-yard line, a gain of 4. That brings up second down and 6 with 1:37 left to go here in the first half. And I believe that Regina will take their second timeout of the half. We're going to take a timeout with them. We'll take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on KGYM.
Hey, you should be thinking about the game, not your business. I understand. I'm Colin Forrest with Holmes Murphy. We handle the worry factor for businesses like yours every day. We're always thinking ahead to find insurance solutions that lower your risk, your costs, and maybe even your blood pressure. Right now, take a break and focus on the game. And when you're back in the office, find out who we are, how we think, and what we do to make your business life less stressful at HOLMESMurphy.com. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead.
Welcome back to the Unidome. 1:37 left to go in the first half. Listen to High School Football in the South Gym. It's brought to you by First Federal Credit Union. Alex Kuhn alongside Gary Fickle.
Hey,
and
you should be thinking
Warner.
About the game.
We are
not
at up at press level here in the booth at the Unidome. Something that is, it's a treat for me. Last year I was kind of running down these steps and back up. I got my exercise with Scott Unash and John Haggerty, and it's an honor to be up here in the booth for my first semifinal game, and it's a pleasure to be alongside you guys. It's been a great year, and I have a feeling we're already going to be here for one game next week, and the way that Regina is playing, we're well on our way to seeing two games next Friday night. Friday morning and Friday night.
You bet. Garrett Hartwick victorious last night. The West High Trojans punched their ticket into the state championship game.
So Eli Barrett back to pass, pressure off the edge. He's going to be brought down at the 43-yard line, and that's going to bring up a fourth down and 13 situation. Jared Brinkman and Reagan Reese apply the pressure. I think they're both going to get a half a sack. Regina's going to take a timeout, and they're going to get the ball back with just under a minute and a half left to go in the first half.
Clock management. It doesn't matter what the score is. This is a semifinal game. You want to be able to get as many points on the board as you possibly can. This is the style of football that Regina has become accustomed to playing with this coaching staff under the direction of Coach Marv Cook.
So 1:30 left to go here in the first half. 28-0 is the score. Regina leads Denver. The winner goes to the state championship game. That will happen at 11:06 a.m. next Friday.
1 hour later than today's kickoff.
Thank goodness.
Kickoff.
I need the sleep.
Friday. Next Friday now.
And we could. If Regina can hang on, we're going to be here in the morning.
Yes.
We're going to be here at night. We're going to be here all day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Todd Werner went to UNI. He has a few spots, a few hangouts. I think he was talking about maybe
in
two
words.
Games.
Famous Daves.
Oh, there's one.
The other two words are the hill. After we're done.
Yeah.
So Eli Barrett will punt the ball away. Jake Phillips back deep to receive. He stands at his own 10-yard line. Barrett taking forever to punt it away as he gets a low end-over-end kick, and it's going to roll inside the 20. And will bounce, take a sideways bounce and be down at the 17-yard line. A 40-yard punt by Eli Barrett, and with a minute and 18 seconds left. No timeouts for the Regals. They take over first down and 10 from their own 18-yard line.
Hey, don't be surprised if Coach Hinkle doesn't pull that rabbit out of his hat here. He's not opposed to the gadget-type plays.
We've already seen one. A double reverse pass after a turnover went 49 yards from Conlin to Trey Rogers. I call that play flipper, a double reverse pass, and it seems to work every time. Conlin back to pass, setting up the screen, has Volstead at the 15 to the 20 to the 25, lowers his shoulder across the 26 to the 27, runs right over Riley Wright, picks up the first down after a gain of 11. So Isaac Volstead had come into the day with 6 catches for 210 yards, picks up his 7th catch of the season, and a first down. Conlin takes the snap. Looks to his right, flush from the pocket. Will throw it to the sideline. Jack Jensen will make the catch. It looks like about a yard, maybe a half yard behind the line of scrimmage, possibly right at the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play regardless. And that's going to bring up a second down and 10 situation for Regina with 1 minute even left on the clock. The clock is stopped at 1 minute after Jensen stepped out of bounds.
Conlin sneaking up on 200 yards passing. 196
quietly,
at this point.
Quietly, isn't it?
Very quietly.
5 wide receiver set. Conlin will run it himself up the middle, looking for a block across the 35. Stiff arms the man, steps out of bounds at the 37-yard line. Very close to a first down. I don't think he got there. It'll bring up a third down and one situation for the Regals.
Very, very wise, very astute football player. Steps out of bounds. Just shy of the first down, but the all-important clock, gentlemen, 54 seconds remain in the half.
54 seconds, and now Volstead checks back into the game as the running back. He's going to get the carry off right tackle across the 40, lowers his shoulder across the 44 to the 45, picks up 7, and another Regal first down, and temporarily the clock will stop with 49 seconds before the chains are set. Keep in mind, no timeouts left for the Regals. As the clock is wound, 5 wide receiver set. Conlin takes the snap, drops back to pass, looks down the field, throws it over the middle. It's caught by Jensen inside Denver territory to the 48-yard line, a gain of 7. That brings up 2nd and 3, but the clock will run inside of 30 seconds as Regina
they're
going to
down this. They're
going to
down this.
As the whistle is blown, and Denver takes their final timeout of the first half before Regina spiked the ball.
Gentlemen, we're going to have a very, very special guest here at halftime. My good friend Todd Tharp will be joining us. He's one of the executives at the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We're going to talk, Alex, a little bit about the playoff system. Todd, the format, kind of the feedback that he's been receiving, what coaches, what administrators are saying. Great, great guy, former Marion Indian like myself, played quarterback with the Indians back in the day. Just a great young man. You're going to enjoy visiting with him.
I am looking forward to that. At the half, stay tuned for our halftime show. We'll give you totals. We'll recap the first half, what has been a dominant performance for the Regina Regals. Gary, you talked last week about this being a trap game. You talked about it earlier in the week. So, and time and time again, it comes up roses for Marv Cook and this staff, but this team came into an early start after an emotional win. They're ready to play.
They're wound up. But again, I think, Alex, a lot of that is predicated just by the style of play.
You talk about gadget plays, 4 receivers stacked to the left, 1 receiver to the near side. It's Volstead. He breaks open at the 20, and the ball goes in and out of the hands as he had beaten Yeager down the field. That'll bring up 3rd down and 3. That ball hung up just a little too long and a little too towards the sideline for Michael Conlin's liking.
Really, really, though, that over-the-shoulder catch with Volstead, probably not accustomed to that type of a catch A lot of times just out of the backfield on that screen pass.
They're going to go right back to that four wide receiver diamond stack formation to the near side. Back to passes. Conlon rolling to his left, evading pressure. Neeson chasing him, throws it down the field. It's caught at the 35-yard line for a first down. That's Noah Felderman on the reception. The clock will stop with 12 seconds left to go in the half. And now Conlon rushes to the line to spike the football. Or does he? We'll see. They set the chains. Conlon spikes the football, second and 10 upcoming with 10 seconds left to go in the first half with a ball at the 36-yard line of Denver.
Coach Dumont visiting with the sideline official on the Regina sideline, trying to get a little clarification on the play prior to the spike.
So now for Regina, they need to get to the sideline or they need to get beyond the sticks. We'll see what the plan is here. Trips to the near side, one receiver to the far side. Conlon rolls to his right, looks down the field, can still rolling. 4 seconds left to go in the half. He's going to throw it out of bounds. Is there 1 second left on the clock? They will say that there is, and there will be one last heave to the end zone for Michael Conlon.
Yep, here comes your Hail Mary. Here comes a hook and ladder. Any little gadget-type play right here in the Regina playbook, they'll go to it right now.
Did you guys see the ending to the Pella Xavier game?
Was that a game or what?
Sorry for our listeners on North Gym 107.5. My heart aches for that Xavier team.
Coach Schulte. Yeah.
Diamond formation, stack four receivers to the near side. Wide side of the field is the near side. Conlon in the shotgun, empty backfield. Conlon rolls to his right. Steps up, throws it back to his left. It's going to be caught by Bigley. He's going to be brought down at the 25-yard line, and that will be the end of the first half of play. 28-0. The Regals lead the Cyclones of Denver in this Class 1A semifinal matchup at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. We're going to take a two-minute timeout. We're going to be back with our halftime report. You're listening to High School Football in the South Gym 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the North Gym 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids.
Hey, you should be thinking about the game, not your business. I understand. I'm Colin Forrest with Holmes Murphy. We handle the worry factor for businesses like yours every day. We're always thinking ahead to find insurance solutions that lower your risk, your costs, and maybe even your blood pressure. Right now, take a break and focus on the game. And when you're back in the office, find out who we are, how we think, and what we do to make your business life less stressful at HOLMESMurphy.com. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Lamar's Insurance Company use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The independent insurance agent system. Discover the power of choice.
Call Millhiser Smith Agency today, your local Lamar's agent, or visit us online at millhisersmith.com to see how much you could save.
The Mount Vernon Mustangs will look for a return trip to the 2A state title game this Saturday night at KGYM. This is Scott Udash. Join John Hegarty and me this Saturday night at 6:30 as number 3 Mount Vernon takes on number 4 Union in a 2A semifinal. The Mustangs and Knights both feature high-powered offenses that can throw lots of points on the board, so it should be a fun one from the Dome. That's Class 2A semifinal football presented by First Federal Credit Union, number 3 Mount Vernon and number 4 Union, Saturday night at 6:30 on KGYM Sports.
Welcome back to the Unidome in Cedar Falls. Alex Kuhn alongside Gary Fickle. We have reached halftime. The Regina Regals leading the Denver Cyclones 28-0 in this Class 1A semifinal matchup to decide who plays next Friday morning for the state championship game. Gary Finkel stands to my right, and Gary, we have a very special guest, and since you know him much better,
absolutely.
I just met him, I'll let you introduce
him. All right, yes, we have my good friend Todd Tharp, who's the assistant director at the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and Todd does a fantastic job overseeing the football operations. And we just want to take a few minutes here, Todd, and visit with you in regards to the format with the playoffs this year. There's been a little bit of change. We went from 32 teams to 16. It looks like it's working quite well. What are your thoughts? What have you been hearing?
It is. Well, first off, you're not just saying all those nice things because we're both Marion grads now or anything.
I did mention that.
All right.
I did mention that.
Okay, so like I said, you got two Marion guys talking about things, so we'll try and keep things on the up and up for the most part. But, yeah, we did obviously make a change in our playoff qualifications. A lot of it dealt with the safety of our student-athletes and the risk minimization of turning around and playing on a Friday and then playing Wednesday and the following Monday and the following Friday to get here to the Dome. That was four games in 14 days. And I went to a national meeting about 18 or 19 months ago, and, you know, one of the recommendations was to only play one game per week. And, yeah. And we needed to get on that. So, you know, the changes came down to either playing eight regular season games and having 32 qualifiers or playing nine regular season games and 16. And we just thought it was way too important to not take away one of those regular season games from the school. So we went to nine games, 16 qualifiers. The 4A and the 8 player was a district champion and the runner-up. And then in 3A through A, it was a district champion, a district runner-up, and then the two at-large or wild card bids. So we've had very good feedback from our schools and our coaches about that. The schools have enjoyed playing a game every week. I think that's been great for the kids and, having a lot more time to prepare for each of the opponents.
And you talk about the preparation time, and you talked about trying to get back on schedule and playing one game per week, and that for the safety reasons, obviously. But what's the feedback been like from the coaches who now kind of have a schedule? You know you're going to play on Thursday or Friday or Saturday. You're going to have in between 5 to 7 days, and for the most part, you're only playing one game per week.
And I think that's the key, that they've enjoyed the preparation. I mean, sometimes it's come down to those games where it's actually come down maybe to an attrition standpoint of, you know, who's the healthiest going into it. And that's not, you know, what it should be. It should be the best teams out there playing. And I know maybe we've had some teams that have qualified here that playing one less game has been beneficial to them all the way through. So I think that part of, you know, getting kids the opportunity maybe to get healed a little bit. I mean, if you had a young man with a concussion in the old format, he would never been able to come back through his concussion protocol.
But season now was gotta basically.
Exactly, it was. So I think that part has helped. I think the coaches, you know, appreciate having that week. I mean, you know, it's called Friday night football, you know, for a reason. And granted, we play a Thursday and a Saturday, but, you know, Friday night, you know, and then for some Friday night again, and the next Friday night, I think that's what people like in the fall is high school football on Friday night.
How about, did you look at statistics, Todd, in regards to injuries in that time period? Did you have anything from reports with the injuries? Was that a major factor, or you just went off of what some coaches and administrators were sharing with you, like, boy, this is just brutal on these kids?
We didn't really have a whole lot of data. The National Federation, we kept track of injuries, but regarding actually seeing concussions and how kids were doing, we did not see anything like that. But it just, you know, we just heard how the kids are just getting run down. They're playing on Friday, and we got a real quick turnaround on Wednesday, and particularly if they were having to travel, you know, they're leaving Wednesday and early and getting back late on Thursday, and then you're already trying to prep for the next Monday and the same thing. It was just, you know, tough on the kids all the way through. So we just thought, you know what, we play a game all the week, 1 week all the way through, we need to continue that aspect. So I think it's been a positive. You know, there are always things we can look at, you know, in the future for what to do, but we're very pleased with it. The coaches have been receptive to it, been very positive about it, and I think they appreciate and understand it's the best for the kids.
You know, you look at the injuries, we've talked about that, and that to me makes perfect sense. Then the other is there are always a lot of questions in regards to should teams at 3-6 or 4-5 get into the playoffs? Yeah. Are they truly playoff worthy? Well, we haven't had that. Now, there have been a couple instances where, and I think in the eight man, I think Lone Tree, for example,
correct,
did not get in at 8-1.
Yep.
We cover an area team in Clear Creek, Amana, in Class 3A. They didn't make it in at 7-2. It's just one of those things. What do you tell them?
It is, well, you know, to tell them that, you know what, it's not fair is not, you know, that's not going to work.
It's not, it's not the answer.
You know, I guess, you know, we knew that there could be the potential. We knew in 4A, we knew in A player that there could be teams with one loss or maybe even two losses that could not get in. You know, not we can debate it, but I guess I can say is they knew what the criteria was going in. You
absolutely
knew you had to be the district champion. You knew you had to be the runner-up to get in. Now, I understand, like I said, Lone Tree, you know, and Coon Rapids Baird on the western side of the state, were two 4A schools, you know, that didn't get in. You know, again, we had some 7-2s as well. You know, we also, you know, you look at it too. Who did they beat? Who did they get beat by? I mean, we had a couple schools. They finished maybe with two losses, but those two losses were in the district, but they were also by the margin. So, you know, you look at that aspect of it too. Did they, you know, you got beat by the district champion, the district runner-up, but you got beat by 17 points both of those games. Did they deserve to be in or not? I don't know. You know, you go back to 32, you know, do we want, like I said, a lot of blowouts. I mean, granted, we have some, you know, we got some great teams here. You've got a 28-0 game here at halftime. That's not maybe necessarily what people want to, but also you get a game, you know, where you get a score on the last play of the game, and Pella beats Xavier on that too. So you get some great parts of it both ways. Our advisory committee will meet again in January. I'm sure they'll have some discussion. I don't know if we'll look at tweaking anything regarding the qualifying for next year since we're already set for the districts, but maybe we'll see something, you know, maybe here at the semifinals, take a peek at, since everybody's here, you know, we've always kind of gone east versus west. Maybe we can take a look at some of those things since they're already here, that we can look at that aspect, and maybe we don't have to have, you know, we can look at maybe just how we rotate our quadrants, and maybe one play, quadrant one plays quadrant three, which happened to be across. We don't always get, you know, a Valley or a Dowling and a Centennial playing a Wash and a West. So maybe those are some things we can look at doing. I'm up for that to see what can happen. I just need some criteria. I mean, coaches say, well, you know, you got number one and number two ranked. Well, we got 15 different ranking systems out there. I don't know if I'm comfortable using that, but I'm looking for some criteria to decide, all right, these four teams here, you know, Regina and Van Meter and Western Christian and, you know, and Denver. I don't know who should be, who's the best team and who's the fourth place team to see them. I don't know that one.
Right. That's a great point. And we saw a game last week against with Pella Christian and Regina.
Yep.
A lot of ranking services had those one and two. Yep. But like you said, there's 16, 11-0, and 10-1 teams
that's
in
right.
Class 1A. Yep. So it's hard to rank them. But this year, what were some of the main focuses when you're putting together that bracket that went into the pairings?
Well, you know, I go back to our fundamental. Going back to Mr. Sago and Mr. Wolko was geography. I mean, and, you know, is, and I understand, you know, we went away from some mileage things when it went to the Friday nights, but, you know, we still don't want teams traveling, you know, a terrible distance. And I understand, like I said, I know Lisbon had to travel all the way to St. Ansgar, but that was, you know, the only trip that we had for them. And, you know, the Regina and Pella Christian, you know, did it make a lot of sense to have, you know, Denver travel all the way to Pella Christian and Bellevue travel to Iowa City Regina just to get those two teams here where
it's
you could have closed
not
up,
on the
tied
fans.
Up,
it's not
you know, where
on
you
the fans.
We could have tied up some of your mileage. You know, that's always been our number one priority. You know, our state tournament, we always say, is a state tournament. It's not necessarily a geographical aspect. We want to try and get representation from everybody. So I respect those fans, those concerns. I mean, you know, we heard that too last week. You know, I don't know if they're the number one or number two. I'm sure maybe, you know, Van Meter and Western Christian Hall might argue that maybe we're number two as well, too.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think there's any way of getting around that. Makes for great coffee talk. Todd, thanks for taking the time and halftime with us. You're a great friend. You do a fantastic job. And we're both very, very proud of our alma mater.
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
And we had some great coaches back then,
yes,
Hall of Famers. And we're lucky to be able to say that you played for the Indians.
That is exactly right. All right. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Handshakes all around. We're going to take our final break of the halftime. 28-0 is the Regina lead over the Denver Cyclones. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
Chemical-resistant gloves, coveralls, earplugs, Grainger. Dust masks, portable eyewash stations, hard hats, Grainger. Anti-fog safety glasses, fall protection harnesses, face shields, Grainger. Respirators, welding jackets, pipe repair systems, Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. Protection blankets, steel toe boots, caution signs, Grainger. They've got over 100,000 safety products. When you think safety, think Grainger. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call, click safety.grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hear that? That's the sound of you creating your own destiny. While others are waiting in line for brunch, you're spending Saturday in the garage. Because you went to AdvanceAutoParts.com, ordered a platinum battery with a 3-year replacement warranty, and picked it up in-store just 30 minutes later. Now, installing a battery isn't an all-day job, but what the brunch crowd doesn't know won't hurt it. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com to learn more.
Sunday, the Arizona Cardinals host the San Francisco 49ers in an NFC West showdown. Hi, this is Scott Graham of Westwood One. Join Dan Miller and Brady Papinga for all the action from University of Phoenix Stadium. After a 1-3 start, the Cardinals are hoping to continue their turnaround, but San Francisco would like nothing more than to upset their division rivals. Niners, Cardinals. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
NFL football presented by MediaCom. The Cardinals and the 49ers Sunday at 3:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
Welcome back to the Unidome. We have reached the end of halftime with the Regina Regals leading the Denver Cyclones 28-0. Alex Kuhn alongside Gary Fickle stands to my right. Gary, before we start the second half, we touched on it a little bit earlier. The fact that we are going to be here next Friday night for the nightcap in Class 4A. The Iowa City West Trojans will take on Dowling Catholic, who's going for their
fourth
consecutive state championship. And I remember last year coming into the game against Cedar Rapids Kennedy thinking, you know what, Cedar Rapids Kennedy's a good team. They just don't have the horses. I think that Iowa City West has some horses. This could be a very interesting matchup.
Oh, I think so, too. And Coach Hartwick,
what a job.
What a tremendous job. Obviously started out on fire at the beginning of the season and then dropped the game for the boot to City High, and then the following week got beat by Prairie. But after that, Alex, they have been absolutely on fire, and in the playoffs taking down Bentendorf, and then
they beat Prairie.
Prairie, yep, a rematch with Prairie, and then last night with Cedar Rapids Washington.
Unbelievable.
Paul James is an outstanding coach for the Warriors, and they punched their ticket last night with a 35-7 win.
There was a point after that City High game where I looked at it and said, you know what, I think that Bettendorf's the best team in the East. I think that Prairie's the best team in the East. I think that Cedar Rapids Washington is the best team in the East. And Iowa City West has run through all of them impressively. Yeah. And it has been unbelievable, the transformation. A lot of people wrote them off as we start the second half, but they have just kept plugging along, and they are in the state championship game. Receiving for the Denver Cyclones across the 30 to the 32-yard line, and that's where the Cyclones will take over first down and 10. That was Connor Corday back deep to receive for the Cyclones. Andrew Hinks made the tackle, a 21-yard return, and that's where the Cyclones will take over first down and 10 to start the second half. First Federal Credit Union brings you high school football in the South Gym and the North Gym, 106.3 FM and 107.5 FM. As Barrett stands in the shotgun, he's going to hand off to Lund, who's angling to his right, and he's going nowhere. He's going backwards, in fact, 2-yard loss to the 30-yard line. That'll bring up second down and 12 for the Cyclones.
I think the Cyclones almost have to throw their game plan out. Trying to come out in the second half here, Todd, and establish a running game isn't going to cut it. I mean, they need to get into the air somehow.
And they haven't established a running game. With that run there, it's 23 carries they've had today for 17 yards.
Barrett drops back to pass, fires it quickly out to Yeager, who makes the catch and then drops it at the 35-yard line. A great defensive play to break up the pass by Jack Jensen, who is in the area. That brings up third down and 13 right out of the chute here in the third quarter. for the Cyclones.
Looks like quite a bit of the same that we saw in the first half, right? Just putting themselves into that third and long situation, playing right into the hands of the Regals. And again, the pace of the game is very, very fast. I'm not sure Denver likes to play at this particular speed.
They wanted to control the clock. They want to run the ball. They have not been able to do so here this afternoon. Barrett drops back to pass pressure up the middle. Hinks from the backside. Gets outside to Barrett. Throws it deep down the field intended for Jaeger. And it is well short and incomplete. Jack Jensen once again with the coverage. And that's going to bring up fourth down and 12 for the Cyclones.
Yeah, Bigley was dropping back as well.
And you talked about it earlier, Gary. You saw Jaeger, the intended receiver, Sam Jaeger, pulling for his toe. It is apparent that he is cramping up here on the far sideline. They're used to playing in the little bit of the chill of the fall air. 72 degrees, no chill, no wind here in the Unidome. Phillips back to receive. Eli Barrett to punt. He stands at his own 17-yard line. A low snap. He handles it and gets off a high end-over-end kick. It's going to be fielded at the 40-yard line by Jared Brinkman, who makes the fair catch. The big man catches everything. He makes the catch at the 40-yard line, and that's where his offense will take over first down and 10 after a 31-yard punt.
Yeah, he looked like a center fielder back there. Alex just calmly catching that fly ball, in this case the punt, calmly, collectively, number 62, Jared Brinkman.
Now the next step is I want to see him return one.
Yeah.
Think that.
Oh,
would
do you think Coach Farley will put him back next year?
You know, Todd, I've been thinking about that.
No, he won't do that. Conlin will hand off to Volstead off left tackle. He steps out of a tackle across the 45 and gets his way into Denver territory after a gain of 12 to the 48-yard line of the Cyclones. A first down run by big number 44.
Watch this, gentlemen. The indicator tells me when you see Denver start trying to tackle upstairs rather than down low, that's called fatigue.
It is, and good luck with that. When you're trying to tackle number 44, that is not easy. Conlin in the shotgun. He drops back to pass. He loses the ball as he was winding up to throw. It popped out of his hands. He falls on it back at his own 40-yard line after a loss of 11 on the play. That is going to bring up second down and very long for the Regals.
Yeah, that was clearly a fumble. His arm was not in the forward passing motion. Correct call by the officials.
Trips to the near side, one receiver to the far side. Conlin back to pass. Looked like he was trying to set up the screen. Instead, he's going to throw it back to the near side in the vicinity of just about nobody. Will the flag fly? The officials will confer. No indication yet as to whether this will be an intentional grounding. It will not be.
The sideline official was pointing out,
I think Trey Rogers was over here,
of receivers in the area.
It was, if kind he was a, in the area.
Kind of a loose interpretation.
That was
of,
a big area.
Yes.
He was somewhere on this far side of the field. Conlin in the shotgun. Denver showing blitz. Conlin fires over the middle. Has Jake Phillips open at the 35-yard line of Denver. And that's a first down. On third and 22, Phillips picks up 26. And the Regals are once again deep inside Denver territory.
Todd, we've talked about this for years. But just the route running, the spacing of these receivers, you're never going to find receivers in the same area. I mean, they spread that defense out.
Conlin in the pistol, Volstead behind him. Volstead gets a carry. He's going to bounce it outside of the 30. He lowers his shoulder to the 25-yard line. He's close to a first down. He picks up 9. That'll bring up second down and 1 for the Regals. He was brought down by Blake Ryer, the strong safety. We have seen a lot of action for the safeties making tackles this afternoon and this morning for the Cyclones, and that is not what they want to see.
No, once those running backs get into that second level, that tells you you're going to get gashed pretty good on the scoreboard.
Volstead takes the carry to the left, picks up 5 yards to the 21-yard line, and a first down for the Regals. And the Regals are back, once again back in the red zone. They have been lethal here this morning.
That 5 yards puts Isaac Volstead 103 yards.
He's over the 100-yard mark.
100 yards.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier, too, Conlon was approaching or had eclipsed the 200-yard mark.
He's well over 200 yards, 252 right now.
He's going to pick up more
as the bubble.
Felder met, that's Jensen inside the five into the end zone. Instead, it's Trey Rogers for the touchdown on the bubble flanker screen. And the Regals have tacked on six more. 34-0 is the lead. Sam Stein will attempt the extra point to try to make it 35-0, 9:05 left to go here in the third quarter.
Here's the thing that impresses you so much about Regina. Just, you know, we talk about the fundamentals, but people downfield blocking. They never give up on a play. They're always going until the whistle, Alex. And again, that, you know, that is being stressed by the coaches every single day in practice. You just don't see a lot of teams, a lot of schools that will do that.
No, you don't. Sam Stein put tax on the extra point. 35-0 is the Regina lead with 9:05 left to go in the third quarter. We're going to take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on KGYM.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
9:05 left to go in the third quarter. The Regina lead is 35-0. Alex Kuhn alongside Todd Werner and Gary Fickle at the Unidome in Cedar Falls for this Class 1A semifinal matchup to decide who is going to the state championship game. And if all signs are a go right now, the Iowa City Regina Regals are well on their way. 35-0 the lead. The clock will be continuous now except for changes of possession and timeouts. Denver will get the ball back. They move from right to left. Crusher radio dial. Sam Stein will tee it off at his own 40-yard line. We'll get to some stats from halftime in just a little bit from Todd Werner as the offensive numbers do not look good right now for the Denver Cyclones. Sam Yeager fields it at the 15 to the 20, the 25, angles to his right across the 30 to the 33-yard line. That's a 19-yard return, and that's where the Cyclones will take over first down and 10.
Yeah, you know, Alex, sometimes stats don't always tell the picture. Today they do. They tell it big time. First half stats, Denver, 22 rushes for just 19 yards for a team that's averaged 7.1 per carry. And then through the air, 6 of 12 through the air, 49 yards, 68 total yards, just complete
that
control
by Regina.
That could
be also, we'll look here after this play.
Eli Barrett in the shotgun, Bo McMahon to his right. He fires quickly out to Zach Miller, who makes the catch at the 35 across the 40 to the 41-yard line, where he's pushed out of bounds after a gain of about 8. That'll bring up second down and 2 for Denver.
Eli Barrett coming in, you guys, 49 out of 81 attempts. And Todd, you said he has 12 already in the first half. So he's been averaging probably 7-8 yards a game with passes. He's going to far eclipse that today.
Barrett will run it himself out of the shotgun. He lowers his shoulder and gets his way out to the 45-yard line, a gain of 3, and that will pick up a Cyclone first down. The lone time this afternoon, there's, wow, we're still in the morning. I don't know why it feels like the afternoon. We're still in the morning, 11:48 local time. The one thing that has worked so far offensively is that two fullback set for Denver. They've seen a couple of plays out of that, but other than that, that's, you talk about whatever the 19 yards they had rushing, I think most of that yardage came from that set, maybe two or three plays. As Barrett fires a quick bubble screen out to the right, it is caught across the 48 to the 49. That was Blake Ryard who makes the catch for a gain of 4, second and 6, the down and distance for the Cyclones.
Alex, the difference between a Regina team and the Denver team, particularly on offense, Denver's just not explosive, you know, whereas the Regals have those explosive players. Big, big difference here.
There's no question about that. And Denver, like you said, very one-dimensional. And when they try, if they're forced to throw the football, it is tough for them as
Barrett rolls to his right, finds some room, and picks up the first down into Regina territory, down to the 44-yard line, brought down by Danny Sullivan, but not before a 7-yard gain and a first down for Denver. 6:26 and counting left to go in the third quarter. Regina, with a running clock, they lead it 35-0. Semi-final action. Whoever wins this game will be right back here on next Friday at 11:06 local time. And we will see. I believe we'll be on the air. An option play as Barrett pitches it to Bo McMahon, who gets the edge for about 2 or 3 yards down to the 42-yard line, brought down by Brady Bigley. Officially a gain of 2, 2nd and 8. The down and distance for Denver. They've tried to run that option, and every time that they try to get to the wide side of the field, they try to outflank Regina. Regina very rarely lets them have anything.
Yeah, no, they're not going to have anything to do with that.
2nd and 8 upcoming. Trips to the far side, wing right formation, one receiver to the near side. Bo McMahon, the running back. Barrett back to pass, pump fakes, has pressure in his face, and down he goes. That is big number 62, Jared Brinkman, back at the 49-yard line. And that's going to bring up 3rd down and about 14 after a 5-yard loss for the Denver offense.
And just look at the body language of Denver. Very slow. Their linemen, I would say, probably wearing down here as this game has been very fast-paced for them. On the other side of the coin, Regina just has that little extra motor, that little extra step in their giddy-up.
Barrett in the shotgun sends Lund in motion, drops back to pass, has a guy set out to the near flat. It's caught at the 41-yard line, wrestled down at the 41-yard line after a gain of about 7 by Brady Bigley. That was the wide receiver Fletcher Anderson who made the reception. That'll bring up 4th down and 6, and I think we're going to see Denver go for it. At the 40-yard line, 4-10, and counting left to go in the third quarter. Nothing to lose at this point.
Absolutely not.
Trailing 35-0. 4 receivers to the far side. Barrett back to pass. He's going to run himself. Brinkman in pursuit, and Reese, as Barrett reaches out at the last second, and it's going to depend on the spot. He's going to be marked out at the 35-yard line, and if that indication holds, he's going to be a yard short. That indication does hold. He is a yard short. Turnover on downs. Regina will take over at their own 35-yard line. We're going to take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to high school football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Regina, 35-0 lead, 3:36 left to go in the third quarter.
Hey, you should be thinking about the game, not your business. I understand. I'm Colin Forrest with Holmes Murphy. We handle the worry factor for businesses like yours every day. We're always thinking ahead to find insurance solutions that lower your risk, your costs, and maybe even your blood pressure. Right now, take a break and focus on the game. And when you're back in the office, find out who we are, how we think, and what we do to make your business life less stressful at HOLMESMurphy.com. Holmes Murphy. Thinking ahead.
The Scooby-Doo song plays here with the Iowa City Regina pep band, 35-0, as the fans on the near side, the Iowa City Regina fans, are very happy. The Regals are on top, 3:36 left to go in the third quarter. Alex Kuhn alongside Todd Warner and Gary Fickle. Denver turns the ball over on downs at the 35-yard line of Regina, and that's where the Regals will take over at their own 35-yard line. Once again, a continuous clock with the Regals up by 35.
Lots of Regals here in attendance watching this semifinal game.
Mason Simpson has checked in as the running back. He's going to get the carry up the middle, and he barrels his way forward across the 40 to the 42-yard line. That's a gain of 7 on the play. That'll bring up 2nd down and 3
for the Regals. Mason Simpson, we didn't see much of him at running back last week, but he's another very, very capable back for this Regina team, especially behind the offensive line that the Regals feature. Mason Simpson gets a carry once again. He cuts back to the left, and he gets out across the 40 to the 41-yard line, a gain of four, first down. That will be a first down for Regina, brought down by Keenan Ballman, the defensive tackle for the Cyclones.
Remember now, this is the first of two Class 1A semis. The second game to follow.
Trips to the far side. Mason Simpson in the backfield. He has some room across the 45 as the flag flies behind the play down to the 40-yard line of Denver. It was a big gainer of 15 yards, but will it stand? I don't think so. It will not. Holding call against Regina will back them up 10 yards.
And that second matchup, Alex, that should be a good one. You've got the 11-0 Van Meter Ball Club squaring off with Hull Western Christian, who will come in at 10-1. That game is set to kick off at 1:06 today. And then there'll be two other games following. That'll be Class 2A. And one of the local flavors will be Mount Vernon in the semis.
See Lance Peterson's team? They are fun to watch. They can put up points in their sleep, averaging over 500 yards per game. Ball moved back to the 35-yard line, first down and 20. Conlin will hand off to Simpson up the middle. That's Phillips, rather, out to the 40-yard line. He picks up 5 yards. And that'll bring up second down and 15 for the Regals. So Mount Vernon will take on Union LaPorte City. If you're here at the Unidome, I suggest getting your snacks before the game, because you're not going to want to miss the offense that will be on the field here this afternoon. Actually, that is this evening, 7:06 p.m. the start. Trips to the far side, one receiver to the near side. Simpson gets the carry, or Phillips gets the carry up the right side across the 45, out to midfield into Denver territory to the 48-yard line. Brought down by Blake Ryard. A gain of 12, and that's going to bring up third down, and we'll call it three for the Regals. 46 seconds left to go here in the third quarter. Conlin's going to keep it himself, looking for a hole. He finds one across the 40, inside the 40 to the 39-yard line. A gain of 10 for Conlin off that mesh zone read play, brought down by Eli Barrett. A first down once again for the Regals on what could have been the last play of the third quarter. 20 seconds and counting left in the first quarter, and that will bring up the third quarter, and that will bring us to the end of the third quarter. We head to the fourth with the Regina Regals on top of the Denver Cyclones, 35-0. We're going to take a 60-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on KGYM, brought to you by First Federal Credit Union.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Lamar's Insurance Company use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The independent insurance agent system. Discover the power of choice.
Call Millhiser Smith Agency today, your local Lamar's agent, or visit us online at millhisersmith.com to see how much you could save.
The Mount Vernon Mustangs will look for a return trip to the 2A state title game this Saturday night at KGYM. This is Scott Unash. Join John Hegarty and me this Saturday night at 6:30 as number 3 Mount Vernon takes on number 4 Union in a 2A semifinal. The Mustangs and Knights both feature high-powered offenses that can throw lots of points on the board, so it should be a fun one from the Dome. That's Class 2A semifinal football presented by First Federal Credit Union, number 3 Mount Vernon and number 4 Union, Saturday night at 6:30 on KGYM Sports.
KZIA HD3 and 4 Cedar Rapids. This is the gym.
We head to the fourth quarter at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. 12 minutes to play with the Regina Regals leading the Denver Cyclones 35-0. The ball resting at the 39-yard line of the Cyclones. Conlin stays in the game at quarterback, but Jake Phillips says at running back. I think we talked about it during the break. Isaac Volstead might be getting the rest of the afternoon off with, it looks like, Phillips off the left edge. He gets wrestled down after a gain of 8. That was actually Brown. Keeler Brown checks into the game at running back for Regina and picks up 7 yards on his first carry.
Yeah, Keeler getting some great playoff experience here. He's just a sophomore.
Second down and 3. Conlin in the shotgun with 3 receivers to the far side and 1 to the near side. Keeler Brown once again up the middle, has some room, and he's going to be brought down after a gain of 2 inside the 30, just short of a first down. Third down and about 1 upcoming for Regina. You talk about the experience that he gains, and this is a reoccurring theme year in and year out. These young guys get so much experience because Regina routinely finds themselves in lopsided football games. Keeler Brown will get the handoff up the middle. He's going to be wrestled down after a gain of 2, but not before he picks up a first down to the 28-yard line. Move the sticks once again for the Regals. Several substitutions into the game for Regina. Casey Anderson, the backup middle linebacker, checks into the game. He makes his first tackle of the game on Keeler Brown. Twins stack formation to either side. Conlin goes with a hard count and draws a Denver defender offside. That is pure fatigue right there, if I've seen it. Jacob Besch has checked into the game, and he was the guilty party. So that is an encroachment, and it will move the ball 5 yards closer to the Denver goal line, to the 18-yard line. Excuse me, the 23-yard line. So 9:59 and counting left to go here in the third quarter. And Regina that much closer to moving to the state championship game. Conlin back to pass, fires it quickly out to Christian Ivan, who spins out of a tackle, gets across the 20, inside the 20, to about the 16-yard line. We've seen Christian Ivan out outside linebacker. Now we see him at receiver making people miss after he picks up a first down and a gain of 7.
Yeah, nice little spin move there out of Christian. Staying inbounds, picking up that very important first down. Clock continues to run here. It's a continuous clock. Regina comfortably up 35-0, driving once again with the ball resting on the 16-yard line of the Denver Cyclones.
I've gotten an update from college football, and not a good one for people listening on 1600 to the Iowa State game, as Keeler Brown gets carried up the middle, across the 10, goes for the corner pylon. He is going to walk into the end zone. Touchdown, Regina. Touchdown, Keeler Brown, from 16 yards out.
Really nice. Boy, I tell you what, guys, we've got to give a lot of credit to Luke Stein at left tackle, Steve Seal at left guard, Jared Brinkman, obviously, at the center, Reagan Reese at right guard, Alex Moore at right tackle. That offensive line has been owning the Denver Cyclones here.
We have run out of superlatives to talk about that offensive line this year. Sam Stein to attempt the extra point. It's up, and it is good. 8:55 left to go in the game. Regina leads 42-0. We'll take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, brought to you by First Federal Credit Union.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
Forty-2-0 is the score with 8:55 left to go in the fourth quarter. Alex Kuhn alongside Todd Warner and Gary Fickle. And Todd, I want to bring you in right now. You look at this Regina team, and we've talked about it all season long, and Gary talked about it as well, establishing the tempo. they've been able to establish the tempo not only in sustained drives, they hit you quick, and at this point, this Denver defense looks completely out of gas.
Well, they just, you know, not only physically are they just being beaten down, but mentally. This team hasn't had this happen to them all season. They had two tight games, their first two ball games of the year against a good Dyke New Hartford team and a solid Wapsie Valley program. But since then, they've dominated their opponents. And now coming into this game, and they found themselves down early. And mentally, you're just not used to that. You don't sustain that momentum and that adrenaline when you're being beaten like they are. It's just been complete domination and just really outclassed Denver with the Regina team has today.
You know, strike early, strike often, take the fight out of Denver. That's exactly what the Regals have done. That's probably an unwritten game plan each and every week out of the Regals.
So 8:55 left. A lot of substitutes have checked into the game on both sides, and I want to get to that in just a second. We hit on it just a second ago. But for this Regina team, who they don't rebuild, they reload. And you see these guys getting experience as they're in so many big-time ball. Is there a price that you can put on how important that is for sustaining, let's call it what it is, a dynasty in Class 1A?
Yeah, dynasty is probably a word that some people might not enjoy, but it is what it is, right?
It is a dynasty. Call a spade a spade.
That's right. It is a dynasty.
Return across the 25 for Denver to the 30-yard line. Wrestled down at the 31. That was Connor Corday after a 22-yard kick return to the 31-yard line. And that's where the Cyclones will take over. First down and 10. Keeler Brown makes the tackle after recording his first touchdown of the day. A 16-yard rush to make it 42-0 as the clock continues to run inside of 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
I think this could be the biggest advantage Denver might have in the entire game right now. I think Regina's needing to put a defense out there.
Denver has lined up to run an offensive play. And there was not a defense out there on the Regina sideline. They were on the Regina sideline. They were not on the field. So they take a timeout, and we'll take it.
Coach Dumont's going to the grease board. He's going to be putting in a lot of substitutes right now. He's just going to make sure that everybody understands the schemes, where they need to be, how they need to line up, read those keys.
And with no defense out there, I feel the obligatory dodgeball reference. That was a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how it pays off for them. Instead, they take a timeout, and they decide to maybe draw up some personnel groupings to get some other guys in the game. Todd, I want to run the Iowa City West by you. We saw them after that Iowa City High game. We sat down, and this was a team that I was very high on. You look at that team, and on paper, you can't help but be impressed. And after that City High game, they were beaten down, and we in the media might have wrote them off a little bit. They are on fire.
You're absolutely right. I wrote them off. I know I did. Having been down on the sideline at that game, and seeing how their kids were acting and how they were responding that night, they had their manhood taken away.
They were stunned. They were absolutely stunned. They thought they just kind of had to go out onto the field and people were going to, you know, just bow down to them. And that was not the case with City High.
And that might have been the best thing that happened to them all year.
Barrett will take it himself to the left side, across the 39 to the 40. That's a gain of 8, and that will bring up second down and 2. Denver keeps in several starters. Bo McMahon still in the game. Eli Barrett, the starting quarterback, who is a senior, will be playing his last game as a Cyclone here this afternoon and this morning as a weird swinging gate formation set up with two linemen to either side. They're going to throw it down the middle of the field. He overshoots Zach Miller, who was defended by Keeler Brown, who was in his safety position running stride for stride with Zach Miller. That falls incomplete. Third down and 2 upcoming for the Cyclones.
A couple of the other Regals that are in on the field right now. You've got Patrick Clark playing a corner. We're going to get some other names and numbers here.
Two receivers to either side. McMahon is the running back behind Barrett. McMahon will get the carry up the middle. He picks up the first down across the 43 to the 45-yard line, a gain of 5, and move the sticks for the Cyclones. And speaking of the Cyclones, I hinted this before the break, but at last gasp as I get a score update, the Kansas Jayhawks were leading the Iowa State Cyclones 14-3. You can hear that game on 1600 AM. John Walters will have the call. John Walters has the call, I should say. McMahon gets the carry, tries to get outside. He does. It gets to midfield and inside of Regina territory. Barely brought down after a gain of 4 by Scott Bolden, who has checked into the game. So, once again, 10:24 left to go in the second quarter. That game is... 10:24 left to go in the second quarter. Kansas leading Iowa State 14-3. That game is in Lawrence. Run up the middle by McMahon as he picks up the first down inside the 45 to the 44. Gain of 6. Once again, Keeler Brown making the tackle for Regina. 5:55 and counting left to go in the football game. Stay tuned to our post-game show. We'll have some totals. We'll have some looking ahead to some other semifinal action later today, and looking ahead to next week, we are going to be busy. McMahon gets a carry up the middle. He has stood up and brought down at the 41-yard line after a gain of 3. It'll bring up second down and 7. Carter Daniel, the defensive end, makes the tackle for the Regals. They'll check out of the game. Number 71, Paul Keller, a 5'11 sophomore, will check into the game at defensive end for Regina. As we see Regina bringing in many substitutes. Barrett in the shotgun will hand. He'll fake the handoff to McMahon, roll out to the left across the 35, inside the 30, the 25, gets the edge, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. 41 yards, a rush by Eli Barrett, and the Cyclones are on the board. They trail 42-6 with 4:55 left to go in the fourth quarter.
Nice little run right there by Barrett. He was able to get to the edge and dash down the sideline, the Denver sideline, for the touchdown in the semifinal game. Too little, too late. Still 42-6 with 4:55 remaining.
Kane Eagle on to attempt the extra point out of the hold of Barrett, who gets off. It gets a hold down despite a bad snap, but the kick sails wide right, and the score will remain 42-6. 4:55 left to go in the ball game. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to High School Football on KGYM. It is brought to you by First Federal Credit Union.
Hey, you should be thinking about the game, not your business. I understand. I'm Colin Forrest with Holmes Murphy. We handle the worry factor for businesses like yours every day. We're always thinking ahead to find insurance solutions that lower your risk, your costs, and maybe even your blood pressure. Right now, take a break and focus on the game. And when you're back in the office, find out who we are, how we think, and what we do to make your business life less stressful at HOLMESMurphy.com. Holmes Murphy. Thinking ahead.
.455 left to go in the game. Regina Regals lead the Denver Cyclones 42-6 in this Class 1A semifinal matchup. The Regina Regals are just under 5 minutes away from punching their ticket to the state championship game, which will take place on Friday morning. We will have the call right here on KGYM. We'll let you know later in the week which frequencies we're going to be on, but we will be on the air. Myself, Gary Fickle, Todd Warner, we'll be right here sitting on the 35-yard line in the press box of the Unidome. A scoring drive for Denver as they attempt the onside kick now, and they will recover it. It was tipped by a member of the hands team by Regina and recovered by Cole Wright, number 1. As a flag flies in.
The ball looked like it was touched by one of the Denver players just prior to the 50-yard line.
That was awfully close. And,
very close.
Number 88, Blake Ryard, was in the area. The call is going to be an illegal touching against Blake Ryard.
but it looked like he went up for the ball, and that ball might have slipped right between his chest and his hands. Whew, that was close.
Well, what was close was whether it went the 10 yards or not.
Correct.
Well, that's from the camera angle at midfield here, it looked like it was right on that line.
Right on the stride, wasn't it?
Unfortunately, these officials here don't have the luxury of replay.
Yeah, they're not going to get a second chance.
I don't know that there would have been enough evidence to overturn that call either.
You've been watching a lot of college, haven't you, Tom?
A little bit.
They don't stop the game on every single play to review at this level.
No.
4:15 left to go in the fourth quarter. 42-6 is the Regina lead. I want to thank our producer back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Jeff Downing, who is going to have a busy day, because we're going to be on the air live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub prior to the Iowa-Michigan game. We're going to have a 90-minute pregame show. Tyler Ryder and Mark Dukes will give you all the audio you need from Kirk Ferentz. Jim Harbaugh didn't have a meeting this week with the media, so we're not going to have Jim Harbaugh audio. What we're going to have for you is a recap of cuts from our interview with Dan Dierdorf, which took place earlier in the week. Dan Dierdorf, a Pro Football Hall of Famer and the color commentator for the Michigan Wolverines. And also stay tuned for a brief post-game show following the game. It will be Tyler Ryder and myself reacting to what will be an interesting night at Kinnick Stadium, to say the least. As Scott Docterman put it yesterday in the gym class, one of the best teams that Iowa's seen in the last 5 to 10 years will be coming in to Kinnick Stadium. Mass substitutions on the field. Full sail substitutions. A new quarterback into the game as Keeler Brown gets to carry up the middle across the 40, inside the 40 to the 39-yard line. Checking in at quarterback is sophomore Scott Arndt. A 6'1", 180-pound sophomore. Keeler Brown checks back in at running back. Ball at the 38-yard line. Arndt in the shotgun. And he bobbles the snap. He'll run it himself across the 40. He stood up at the 39-yard line and dropped for a loss of 1 second. Down at 11 upcoming. For this team, I know Marv Cook is going to be looking for the teachable moments. A couple of turnovers today. There's always that. He is a perfectionist. We know that. Two receivers to either side. Arndt will run it up the middle himself across the 35. He's going to be brought down at the 32-yard line after a gain of 8. Third down and 4 upcoming for the Regals. Regina will move to 11-1 on the season. Denver's season will come to an end after a great 11-1 season themselves. Third down and 4 at the 32-yard line of the Cyclones. New quarterback into the game as Patrick Clark checks in, and he's going to run it himself up the middle. He's going to be brought down right around the first down marker. I think he'll be a tad short, the gain of 3.5, and that's going to bring up fourth down and inches for the Regals, and you'll have to imagine they'll just run the ball once again.
I'm not sure Patrick is a true quarterback.
No, I don't think so.
I think he's probably just lining up in the wildcat, taking the direct snap, trying to run the clock out.
He'll hand it off up the middle, as that is Christian Ivan on the carry. It's a first down for the Regals.
Well, this thing's winding down quickly here, guys. We're under that 2-minute mark. Remember, it's a continuous clock. Once again, you've got Van Meter and Hull Western Christian in that second
to decide
semifinal game, which will the winner will play Regina next Friday.
Keeler Brown will take the carry up the middle. He is brought down at the 22-yard line.
I kind of like the way Brown runs here. Little jitterbuggish. Looks like he runs with, good eyes.
32 yards on 5 carries.
32 yards, 5 carries.
And a touchdown.
Yeah, and the touchdown run earlier.
And with this team, they're going to be heavily favored against whoever they play next week.
Sure.
We know
sure.
that.
with 1:11 left. They'll run another play here, and we'll get to this question after this play as Patrick Clark stands in the shotgun. He's going to hand the ball off up the middle to Scott Bolden, who's wrestled down at the line of scrimmage at the 24-yard line, maybe lost a yard. That's going to bring up 3rd and 6. If you're Marv Cook trying to keep this team from getting too complacent, and you know that that's going to be something that he is keying on, what is the message this week?
Well, I think the message will clearly be number 7, and I think they do such a great job incorporating the alumni, the former players, their tradition. You don't want to be that team that would possibly let the streak come to an end. I mean, it's unbelievable. 6 straight state championships playing for number 7 here, Alex, next Friday.
They take a knee, and you are correct, sir. Next Friday at 11:06 a.m. local time, we will be on the air as Regina will be battling for their 7th consecutive state championship game as they win this semifinal matchup 42-6 over the Denver Cyclones. We're going to take a 3-minute timeout. You're listening to High School Football on the South Gym 106.3 FM in Iowa City. More with the post-game show after this break.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Lamar's Insurance Company use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The independent insurance agent system. Discover the power of choice.
Call Millhiser Smith Agency today, your local Lamar's agent, or visit us online at millhisersmith.com to see how much you could save.
Hear that? That's the sound of you creating your own destiny. While others are waiting in line for brunch, you're spending Saturday in the garage. Because you went to AdvanceAutoParts.com, ordered a platinum battery with a 3-year replacement warranty, and picked it up in-store just 30 minutes later. Now, installing a battery isn't an all-day job, but what the brunch crowd doesn't know won't hurt it. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com to learn more.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS.
Kevin Kugler here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Hall of Famer James Lofton and I have a great matchup for you as the New England Patriots host the Seattle Seahawks in their first meeting since Super Bowl 49. Seattle is 5-2-1 after a win last week over the Bills, the only team to beat the 7-1 Patriots this year. Join us and hear the NFL all season from Westwood One.
Sunday Night Football presented by Mediacom, the Patriots and the Seahawks, Sunday at 6:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM. The Mount Vernon Mustangs will look for a return trip to the 2A state title game this Saturday night at KGYM. This is Scott Unash. Join John Hegarty and me this Saturday night at 6:30 as number 3 Mount Vernon takes on number 4 Union in a 2A semifinal. The Mustangs and Knights both feature high-powered offenses that can throw lots of points on the board, so it should be a fun one from the Dome. That's Class 2A semifinal football presented by First Federal Credit Union, number 3 Mount Vernon, and number 4 Union, Saturday night at 6:30 on KGYM Sports.
Sunday, it's an NFC showdown as the Minnesota Vikings head to Washington, D.C. to play the Redskins. Hi, this is Tom McCarthy of Westwood One. Join Ross Tucker and me for all the action from FedEx Field. The Vikings jumped out to a 5-0 start but have lost 3 straight. They face a Redskins team coming off their bye week and looking to separate themselves from a packed NFC wildcard race. Vikings, Redskins, if it's the NFL, it's right here.
The Vikings and the Redskins, Sunday at 11:30, presented by Mediacom, right here on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
42-6, the Iowa City Regina victory over the Denver Cyclones. On the South Gym 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the North Gym 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. Iowa City Regina after beating the number two team in Class 1A in a it was a heartbreaking defeat for Pella Christian and a heart-stopping game for us and you, and an emotional victory for the Regina Regals. They come out and make quick work of the Western, or excuse me, the Western Christian's playing next of the Denver Cyclones.
Yeah, and coming into the ballgame, Denver was rated number three. So there's been obviously quite a drop-off. Todd Tharp kind of alluded to it too. I mean, how do you truly determine who number one is, or two, or three, or four? These teams are all pretty darn good, but I'll tell you what, gentlemen.
We know who number one
is. The Regals are the cream of the crop.
We'll get to some statistics in just a little bit, but let's recap. After what it was a first couple of possessions that ended up in punts for Regina, it was a 73-yard touchdown reception by Jack Jensen who got the Regina Regals on the board in the first quarter. And that was a quick little out, and Jack Jensen made some guys miss. And that's what is so difficult about this team in Class 1A. Not only are they well coached, but they also seem to have the best athletes and the best linemen, and you talk about strength conditioning, that all of that is just such a perfect storm as to why they are so dominant at this level.
Well, they're head and shoulders above their opponents. They have been for the last several years. They won a state title, I think, in 2005. Then the streak began, Alex, back in 2010. It continues. They're at six. They wanted to move to seven. Coaching, players, strength and conditioning, and a community who backs the Regals 100%.
So before we step aside, I want to get to some stats from today, and we'll bring in Todd Warner. And Todd, we saw this game unfold. The listeners heard it. It was as lopsided as we saw. Did the numbers reflect that?
Well, they do. And, you know, and as I mentioned, talking with the coaches from both teams prior to the game, they each said this game was going to be won or lost in the trenches. And Denver really felt like, you know, they could go toe-to-toe with Regina, and the stats just, they didn't...
prove otherwise.
They didn't prove that one bit. Denver Cyclones running the ball today, averaging coming in 7.1 yards per carry. Today, 34 rushes, 98 yards for just a 2.8-yard average. And you take out the one touchdown run against the reserves for 41 yards, that I believe it was Bartlett had late in the game.
Yeah.
1.7 is all they were averaging per run. 9 of 18 passing the ball, 18 passes. That's just not Denver football.
Right.
9 of 18 for 69 yards, 167 total yards for Denver. And then on the flip side, Regina, just they strive to have balance. And today they actually threw the ball a little bit more than, and I think kind of just that's what the defense led them to. Regina, 35 rushes today, 205 yards, led by Isaac Volstead with kind of a pedestrian 10 rushes, 103 yards, but just a lot of different carriers, 9 different ball carriers carried the ball throughout the game. 205 total yards rushing. Michael Conlon, nice, efficient game passing ball, 15 of 23.
Nice.
281 yards, 486 yards total offense for Regina. 7 different receivers caught the ball. Balance.
Spread the wealth, right?
Absolutely. Spread
that ball around. That's where Regina just really has a leg up on so many opponents. They have the weapons. Alex, they're not limited to one or two players. They're interchangeable. They can put different guys into the backfield. They can put different receivers out onto the field. And they all make the plays.
They do. And you talk about Isaac Volstead, who has become their feature back here at the second half of the season. Jake Phillips was their feature back early in the season. He is a starter on pretty much every other team. And then you have Mason Simpson, who probably be a starter on pretty much every other team in Class 1A. And, oh, by the way, when things get out of hand, we're going to bring in Keeler Brown, who gets 45 yards and a touchdown and shows a little bit of burst as well. It's just, this is the thing, though. We're talking about this right now, and you talked about this last week. This is what Regina, if they pay attention to it, is going to hear all week. How much better they are than everybody. How this is theirs. The seventh straight state championship is right there. and you know that Marv Cook is going to be cognizant of that. What is this week going to look like for this team, and what are some things that he's going to... And you look at this, there were a couple of turnovers, but pretty much a pretty darn flawless game plan from Regina. What is Marv Cook going to say to his players this week to try to maybe knock them down a notch? I don't know at this point.
He's going to say the same thing, Alex, this week as he said the week before, and the week before that, and the week prior to that. He is so level-keeled that, you know, that never, ever changes. And I think the coaching staff, you know, from Coach Cook on down, they're all on the same page in regards to, you know what, teams don't understand how good we are until they step out onto the field and play against us. You can't practice in a week against the speed and all the different dimensions that Regina can throw at you, both offensively but also the schemes and what they present to you from a defensive package standpoint with Coach Dumont. Boy, he shifts things up. You don't get the same look every single play. They're the real deal. I don't know what else we can say. We're always sitting here in the Uni Dome each and every year after watching them just demolish somebody, and we're talking always about the same thing. It doesn't change. They're so consistent about
usual.
It is. Their lunch bucket mentality, like Marv said, you know what? We're not the type of team that comes up in the Greyhound bus. We come up in the yellow school bus, and it's just work for us. It's another day at the office for them.
So next week, let's look forward to it. Not only Regina, but we're going to have two games on Friday. We're going to have a game in the morning starting at 11:06 a.m. Regina will be back on the field going for their seventh consecutive state championship game, and they're going to be playing the winner of this next game that will be starting in about 35 minutes here in Cedar Falls. The Van Meter Bulldogs will take on the Western Christian Wolfpack. This is a battle of number 4 against number 5. Keep in mind, the Cyclones of Denver were ranked number 3 in Class 1A, and Regina just defeated them. So Regina will be playing one of these two teams. 11-0 Van Meter comes in against the Western Christian team, who Regina saw last year in the state championship game, and comes in at 10-1.
Yeah, they have playoff experience. They've been here before. But I tell you what, you're the king until somebody knocks you off, and that's, we're talking about Regina.
And let's talk about that game later in the night. And it's kind of we go in with the expectation for Regina. It's a little bit of the opposite. We're talking about Iowa City West. Iowa City West is absolutely on a roll, and they are trying to shock the world because they're playing a team going for their fourth consecutive state championship in Class 4A, who I saw them last year here, and it's funny because I saw them dispatch of Kennedy pretty easily. The Dowling, I'm talking about, Dowling Catholic, who will be taking on Iowa City West. And their coach said, yeah, this isn't the most talented team. And you look at them, and they look like a college team. But Iowa City West has some pieces, and they are playing very well. And this, man, if they can stay in it early and believe that they can hang with that team, they have a chance.
Oh, absolutely they have a chance. Here's what I really like about West High right now. They were the heavy, heavy underdog against Bettendorf. Boom, put that game in the win column. They were the heavy, heavy underdog against Cedar Rapids Prairie. Boom, put that one in the win column. They were the underdog last night against Cedar Rapids
and
Washington.
Just demolished.
They just put the wood to them. I mean, they took them out back and just beat them. I like West High's mentality where they've accepted this in the playoff stretch. We're the underdog. We're going to come out and play with a chip on our shoulder, and we have something to prove.
Well, men, we've reached the end of our broadcast here on the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. But until next week, this has been the appetizer. This has been the appetizer at the Uni Dome. Our first time being up here is a whole broadcast team, at least with me here. Next week, a full Friday. We're going to be here in the morning. We're going to be here in the at night, and hopefully Todd can take us to some great, so you said Famous Dave's. We'll be stopping through there
for lunch.
Could
be on the venue. That could be on the venue, right, Todd?
We'll put it on the list.
Yeah.
We will put it on the list. And once again, stay tuned to our website, because we're going to have exact times, as I think we pretty much know when we're going to be in the air. But we're going to have frequencies where you can tune in, where you can listen. As always, you can go to our website and listen to these games, kgymradio.com. Stay tuned for our pregame show this evening before the boot. That it will be live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub ahead of the Iowa-Michigan game. After the final gun, we'll be taking your calls after the game, after the Iowa-Michigan game, the premier game, the Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Fowler game of the night. The Michigan Wolverines bring their undefeated record into Kinnick Stadium. Once again, 42-6. Was the margin of victory for Iowa City Regina over the Denver Cyclones. For Gary Fickle, for Todd Warner, I'm Alex Kuhn signing off from the Unidome. You've been listening to high school football in the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, brought to you by First Federal Credit Union.